Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. We've got some rain in our forecast, a chance of that several days this week, including today. There's a chance we could see showers and thunder showers as well this morning as well as late in the day, and some of those late afternoon and evening storms could be on the stronger side. Keep your radio tuned to WDAY for the latest weather developments. I do see showers and thunder showers occurring across western and central western and central North Dakota. Looks like maybe we'll see some rain here in Fargo after about 9 o'clock this morning. I don't see any thunder showers that are building towards our region here anytime soon, but it looks like we'll start as a little rain or kind of in a gap of two different systems that'll be pushing eastward. 78 for our high temp. There's a chance of some isolated showers or thunder showers late in the day tomorrow. 77 for the high, and on Wednesday, chance of late afternoon or evening showers and thunder showers. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, we are learning more details on the capture of the suspect in the killing of a Minnesota state lawmaker. Vance Bolter was captured alive near his farm in Green Isle after being spotted on a trail cam by a neighbor who called police. Brooklyn Park Police Chief Mark Burley says the chase to capture Bolter was the largest manhunt in state history. It included hundreds of detectives and 20 different SWAT teams. BCA Superintendent Drew Evans says Bolter was armed when he was taken in. Bolter's accused of killing state lawmaker Melissa Hortman and her husband. He's also accused of shooting Democratic Senator John Hoffman and his wife. Governor Walz says Hoffman is out of surgery and moving towards recovery. Meanwhile, calls for increased security are growing after the shootings. Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar told NBC's Meet the Press her security was increased after she was reportedly a target of the suspected assassin. Authorities say Bolter had a list of targets, including dozens of names, mostly Democratic lawmakers and prominent abortion rights supporters. A sizable crowd showed up outside Fargo City Hall on Saturday to take part in the nationwide No Kings protest against President Trump. This military veteran from Fergus Falls explains why she was there. Rallies are held at more than 2,000 locations across the country. A man was killed in a motorcycle crash on I-29 south of Pembina Saturday afternoon. The State Patrol says a 25-year-old Cavalier man lost control of the cycle on a curve, left the road, and crashed. He died of his injuries. His name has not been released. Four North Dakota airports are getting federal money to help with improvements. Airports in Jamestown, Gwinner, Minot, and Bottineau will split nearly $2.3 million. Money will be used to reconstruct terminals, resurface pavement and joints on runways, and replace snow removal equipment. And a few Minnesota cities appear on the best staycation list. Finance website WalletHub ranked the top 182 cities for staycations, where there's plenty of entertainment without breaking the bank. The list was based on several key points, including the number of parks and the cost of restaurant meals. Minneapolis came in 51st, while St. Paul was 104th. Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks lost their series finale to the Lake Country Dockhounds 8-3 yesterday. More than 4,000 fans turned out for the Father's Day game. The Redhawks are off today, but they'll kick off a three-game homestand against Sioux City beginning tomorrow night. First pitch set for 7:02. The Twins were swept by the Houston Astros following a 2-1 10-inning loss. Twins led by one entering the ninth before Joan Duran blew the save. Cole Sands was charged with the loss in relief after giving up a game-winning hit in the 10th, while Brooks Lee homered in the losing effort. Twins remain in second place in the AL Central at 36-35. They visit Cincinnati tomorrow. Meanwhile, Royce Lewis is on the shelf again. The Twins' injury-prone former first overall pick was placed on the 10-day injured list over the weekend. Lewis strained his hamstring while running the bases on Friday. Minnesota Lynx got off to a fast start during a 101-78 rout of the LA Sparks at Target Center Saturday. Minnesota led 58-26 at halftime and coasted to victory in the second half. Nafisha Collier poured in 32 points in the victory, while Courtney Williams finished with 17. Minnesota's in first place in the WNBA at 10-1. The Lynx host the Aces tomorrow night. NBA Finals resume tonight. The Oklahoma City will host the Indiana Pacers in Game 5. The Thunder tied the series at 2 games apiece with a 111-104 victory in Game 4 on Friday. League MVP Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led OKC to the victory with a game-high 35 points. Both teams are 2 wins away from claiming the first NBA championship title in team history. Jay Stenman's here, and that's what I like to see. Let's just go down to the wire.
Well, here's what I think. Indiana had a lead in that one. They looked like they were in control. I fell asleep. And it was close.
And the game flipped, did it?
And the game flipped, and I woke up, and Oklahoma City was up by like 4 at the time with 24 seconds left. There is some clarification. Oklahoma City's never won an NBA championship while in Oklahoma City. They are the former Seattle Supersonics, which they did win a couple titles there. So the organization itself could win their first since being in Seattle. In Indiana, I found out, I think they were saying this week, and they won 3 ABA titles. They're still looking for that first NBA title. But all that being said, I think after Oklahoma City came back and won that game, I think the series is going 7, to be honest. Both home crowds have been fantastic. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like Oklahoma City will get the win tonight. And then what do we have to wait till Thursday or Friday? I forget what day it is. That we'll see game 6, and then after game 6, we'll be headed to a game 7. I think that might be next Monday then.
That
like
would be
week.
Fun to see 7 games.
Hockey, though, obviously Edmonton had a chance to go up 3-2 on home ice. They got beat 5-2 on Saturday night, and Florida's 1 win away from going back-to-back Stanley Cup champs, just kind of like their cross-state rivals in the Tampa Bay Lightning did a couple years ago. And I don't know. Edmonton switched goalies, which helped them win game 4. Game 5, it didn't particularly help. And it's just one of those situations where Bobrovsky, when he's had a good game, they just can't score enough. And when he has maybe a little bit less than ideal game, they Florida Panthers lose in overtime. But Edmonton doesn't really seem to have the goaltending that they need to pull this series out. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see if Edmonton can get this to game 7. Game 6 is tomorrow night, so we'll see if they can get on the ice and get a win. But we'll see how that goes. I'm not sure where you left off, Bonnie.
JJ got to golf. Yep.
Yeah, you got to golf.
No, that's
JJ
that's
Spahn nice. Is celebrating his first major championship after winning the U.S. Open. He finished atop the leaderboard at 1 under par to win the tournament by 2 strokes. Robert McIntyre finished 2nd at 1 over par. Victor Hovland was 3rd at 2 over, while Cameron Young, Tyrell Hatton, and Carlos Ortiz finished in a 3-way tie for 4th at 3 over. Tom Hoge did not make the cut. Kind of put himself in a bad spot after day 1. I think day 2, I think he was like 5 under, so he finished at about even. So at least that's what I recall. Kevin Durant, I don't know if you mentioned this, Bonnie, but his list of preferred teams he wants to go to does not include the Timberwolves.
But does that mean that he can't go to the Timberwolves?
No. It means his preference, if they're going to trade him, which at this point in time of his career, he might very well have a no-trade clause, but it's such a high price to trade for him that he is interested in Miami, San Antonio, and Houston Rockets. So he wants to go to a team that he feels like he could be a big part of and that they have some pieces there to go ahead and win. Miami, they might be missing that dominant lead scorer, which Kevin Durant is. San Antonio, they've got De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama, so putting him with it, that creates a really nice big three there. Houston, I believe Kyle Lowry's leaving the team. You still got Dylan Brooks. You've got that young European center. A couple other players. So maybe, the Houston Rockets have the assets to trade for him and he can go to Houston and be the guy and play for Ime Udoka, but we'll wait and see. James brought up a good point the other day when we were talking in the office that if you're going to spend that much in trade because the Wolves have to cut salary, so that way after you cut salary, then you can match salary with the trade, mm-hmm. which still means basically you're going to get rid of 3-4 guys to get Kevin Durant.
Right.
If you're going to spend that much, I would much rather, and James would much rather, trade for a player like Giannis Antetokounmpo from Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. Now, somebody younger.
Yeah, so the only team that I've heard him be interested in is Toronto, and I don't know that Milwaukee's really interested in trading Giannis. So I kind of think that the whatever Wolves trades and moves that the Wolves make, I don't really feel like it's going to involve Kevin Durant or Giannis.
When are these trades taking place?
Well, we had a trade over the weekend. So when you're done with your season, you can start making trades. So this weekend,
isn't there a window, like a 2 week window? Or
no, you can you can trade up until like the draft, and after the draft, then there's a little bit of time. I think that there's no trades until free agency opens up. And the Memphis Grizzlies traded a very good outside shooter, perimeter, that Desmond Bane to Orlando for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. What's his name? He's Kenny Smith's son that plays for Orlando. Is it Cole Smith? I forget the name now. They traded him and then some picks, a number of picks, to get Desmond Bane. It seems like they're overpaying to get him, but he really fills a need as to what Orlando needs. So we've seen a pretty significant trade over the weekend, and we'll see more, obviously, heading up into the draft and see if any teams are trying to make moves to try and track down Indiana and Oklahoma City, respectively, to you know, place their stake at being an NBA Finals contender. So we'll have to wait and see. Men's College World Series down in Omaha. We can see we don't have any live update from James, so I guess he's just...
he's busy.
He's busy. Arizona was the first team eliminated, so my affinity for the Wildcats down in Tucson, they lost 8-3 to Louisville, although I think they were up 2-0 in that game early. Cardinals scored 6 runs in the 8th inning to earn the win. In the nightcap, Coastal Carolina beat Oregon State 6-2 in a winner's bracket game. Action continues Monday with an elimination game between Arkansas, the top overall remaining team in the tournament, and Murray State in the afternoon, followed by a winner's bracket matchup between LSU and UCLA.
And aren't you and James calling a volleyball game tonight?
Yes, we have the Optimus, I think it's the Optimus Club volleyball all-star game. That'll be at Fargo South. Match coverage starts off at about 7 o'clock, so that'll be right after, I suppose we have a rerun, or maybe we don't have a rerun of PTS. I'm not sure how they're doing that tonight. Normally tonight is Track Talk with Jason Berg. No, actually, I take that back. Jason Berg is going to be live here on WDAY. That volleyball match will be on the flag.
So gotcha.
That is correct.
All right. Chance of some thunderstorms this morning, and again, late in the day. Some of those ones late in the day could be on the stronger side. 78 for our high, winds northwest 10 to 20, 57 our overnight low. Partly to mostly sunny tomorrow, chance of an isolated shower or thunder shower late in the day, 77 for the high. West northwest winds 5 to 15, 57 the overnight low. And Wednesday partly cloudy, chance of some late afternoon or evening thunderstorms. High around 72 with winds out of the west southwest 5 to 15. Cloudy, we do have rain in central and western North Dakota. We have 64 degrees right now at our WDAY radio studios, high top I-29 in South Fargo. East-southeast winds 5 miles an hour. 5:13, time for your national news from ABC, then a song of the morn and question of the morn coming up. Good Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Mastati, Jace Denman, and you start a new week. We're going to get another one of you qualified for the great grocery giveaway. If you haven't done so yet, go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Look for the great grocery giveaway page. Fill out that short form and then listen all day long for your name to be called. One person is going to win $10,000 in groceries. That's enough groceries for a year, thanks to our fine sponsors, Allsager Meats and Kingpins. Question of the morn, we want to know what's one of the strangest things you've seen people put on food. 701-293-9000. You can email studio at WDAYRadioNow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Monday morning, welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. It turned out to be, well, it was on the cooler side this weekend, but it turned out to be decent. And Saturday, even later in the day, the sun came out, and it actually turned out pretty nice because I know my husband's son, nephew, and his wife went to the Red Hawks game while I stay home and babysat the three little ones. We had fun at home, but they had fun at the game. They said there was a nice crowd on Saturday, and yesterday, for Father's Day, even nicer crowd, about 4,000.
Oh, wow. People turned out. That's great.
Yeah. It's good to see the fans are out and Red Hawks off tonight, but they'll have a home-to-game stand starting tomorrow. So it's a good time of year to see a baseball game, especially for those of us that don't like it too hot.
Yeah, exactly. If you can, you know, obviously at that stadium, if you can sit in the right spot, kind of be out of the sun. I know a lot of times in North Fargo, it's usually pretty windy because there was a summer I played in a softball league on the, up there by Newman Outdoor Field, and it was just so windy all the time.
Take your ball once
yeah.
in a while.
Yeah, everybody else was hitting home runs and grounded out to second or whatever, but not still.
I was never a home run hitter. I was a good singles hitter.
Yeah, I mean, I was just hit the ball as hard as I could, you know, and then just run as fast as I can.
Get yourself on base.
Yep,
that's all that matters.
Pretty much all I needed to do.
Teammates can do the rest. Mm-hmm. 526, our question of the morning. What's one of the strangest things you've seen people put on food? Some people do really weird combinations. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Dave in Grand Rapids is going to start a fight over pineapple on pizza. I'm with you, Dave. He says it doesn't belong. And he says it's like salt on watermelon. And that's another thing. There's a lot of people that put salt on watermelon.
I think my dad still does that on occasion. And I never got it.
I never thought to even do that.
Well, I mean, a lot of times if you put a little bit of salt and stuff, I mean, there are cookies here, which will not make it to anybody else, but don't you put a pinch of salt in your cookies?
Yeah, you don't have to.
I think my grandmother, my dad's mom, used to do that. There would be a pinch of salt or mm-hmm. something in there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that pinch of salt can kind of enhance the flavor of the dish, even if it's something that's sweet, but I never really understood salt on watermelon. Then again, at the time when dad was much younger, didn't have to watch his sodium. He put a bunch of salt on there,
and
you're just like, what's the
deal?
As
you get older, a lot of people try to eliminate the sodium. My daughter and her friends all use this. I don't know. They make some drink, and they use tahini on the rim of
it. Oh, yeah, the spicy,
But they also put it on. Well, one of their friends is from Mexico, so she's big into tahini seasoning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they also put it on fruit, cantaloupe, and watermelon. Oh, I've tried it on watermelon. I actually think it's really good.
The tahini, I've had that on like candies and stuff before. I can't remember which candies it was, but they had like tahini coated, I don't know if they were, gummies or some type of chewy. It was some type of chewy candy.
From the store? Did somebody
from the store.
It? Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. It's good. It's a good seasoning.
Yeah.
Strangest things you've seen people put on food. That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. 701-293-9000. Email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Your wife will probably be right here with Susie on this. People who put sugar in milk on grits. I've never had Southern grits, so I don't know. Turns it more into like an oatmeal if you do that, I suppose.
I suppose. I mean, I just have always had basically the savory grits, which the way my wife makes them, usually there's a bunch of cheese in there. So they're there's a bunch of cheese. So they're cheesy grits. You know, they've been salt and peppered or whatever. But then, of course, me, what I really like to do is I like to take my scrambled eggs and put the grits on top of it. And then, of course, I put salsa on it, which is normally just picante
That's
sauce.
That's your way. How normally, because I've only seen pictures. I've never had Southern grits.
Uh-huh.
Are they normally seasoned like that with cheese and stuff? Or they just kind of look bland in pictures?
You can have them just plain, but I guess that's never the way that I like them. I always like when they put cheese in them. I don't remember how they were particularly made because there was a restaurant on St. Simon's Island in Georgia, which is near the training facility where we had training, and we went to this restaurant. It was either called Norma Jean's or Barbara Jean's, one of the two. And I got shrimp and grits. And the grits there, like a lot of times if you buy the instant grits, they're usually just, they look white. These were the grits in the dish then. They look kind of almost like they were yellowish. So I don't know if they were, instead of using water, you use chicken stock or something like that. I don't know if there was cheese in them.
Or they used cornmeal maybe?
I mean, I think that it's always cornmeal, isn't it?
I don't know. I have no idea. I've never had them.
Well, then pipe down, would you?
Well, I thought it was like white maize corn or something.
Then that would still be corn.
I've only seen pictures of them.
Well, you should try some. Yeah.
I don't know.
Either way, I had the shrimp and grits, and they were just fantastic. And I don't really know off the top of my head, other than probably putting cheese in them, what they probably would have seasoned them with.
I tried to find typical Southern grits recipe. I didn't have really a whole lot of luck with that. I threw up a bunch of different ones. But there's Lana's Cooking, Beth Southern cheese grits recipe. So it's not unheard of. Salt, pepper, garlic powder, sharp cheese, sharp cheddar cheese, and butter. I would try them. Yeah. I just have not had them.
You should. They're okay. Good.
Someday. Maybe someday.
Mm-hmm.
In a restaurant somewhere. I'm not going to make them. Strangest things you've seen people put on food. My sister Heidi, to me, this just grosses me out. She puts peanut butter on hot dogs. It's like, why?
Well, people put peanut butter on hamburgers.
Yeah, I don't get that either. That's not
It's supposed
thing.
To be really good. I mean, I'm not saying you just put a whole huge glob of peanut butter, but, it's a peanut butter, and you can use some type of jelly or jam type of sauce as well, and you get this peanut butter jelly burger, and supposedly it's really good.
There's so many calories in peanut. I love peanut butter. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, mm-hmm. a big scoop of peanut butter on a spoon or a peanut butter sandwich, but it's like, I'm not putting it already on a fatty food to begin mm-hmm. with.
Well, if you're going to go big or go home.
I guess. But on hot dogs, really, Heidi? Come on.
I mean, I guess.
That's weird.
To each their own.
Yeah, I guess. She likes them, and she's mm-hmm. been eating them since she was a kid. What's one of the strangest things you've seen people put on food? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. We go to the phone lines, find our friend Polly in Idaho this morning. Good morning to you, Polly.
Good morning, you two. You're not making me very hungry putting peanut butter on hot dogs and peanut butter on hamburgers. I don't.
Yeah. The hamburger is a kind of a big deal. A lot of people are mm-hmm. into that, peanut butter and jelly. I've never tried it, and I wouldn't. It wouldn't be something I gravitate to. But the hot dogs, I think Heidi's probably in a league of her own.
Yeah. I think ever since I watched the movie Dirty Harry with Clint Eastwood, 50 years ago, and he looks to his partner as they're eating hot dogs, and he looks at his partner and his hot dog, and he says, nobody in the world ever puts ketchup on a hot dog.
That's another thing people fight over. It's just like, you know what? Eat it the way you enjoy it. I prefer mustard on mine, but I'm not going to diss somebody that puts ketchup on a hot dog.
I like ketchup on a hot dog.
There are people that do, but some get angry about mm-hmm. it.
No, he's just making a laugh in the movie. But the thing I used to like the most was sunflower seed kernels that are salted on top of a Blizzard from DQ.
Oh, to get that sweet, salty mm-hmm. kind of combination.
Yeah, oh man, it was beyond repair. I mean, it was just...
Do they have sunflower seeds at DQ, or you had to pack your own?
No, I'd buy mine at the store and bring them home, and then I'd put them on when I got home.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to say, I don't think I've seen sunflower seeds at Dairy Queen. There's that. I had a roommate who would, some people just love that salty, sweet combination. One of my roommates, every time we made popcorn, she'd pour M&Ms in there. It's like, gross. I don't like sweet on anything that I consider a normal food. I don't like that combination. And just give me my popcorn plain, maybe M&Ms later on the side or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, Polly, will you have yourself a great day? Yep, you too. Good hearing from you. 533, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. What's one of the strangest things you've seen people put on food? 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Our trucking friend Doug says, coleslaw and mustard together on hot dogs. Must be a Southern thing.
Yeah, well, there's, Jay Smoke and Barbecue? They had a sandwich that was it brisket? Or could you get it with pulled pork? Whatever their sandwich was, I want to say it was a brisket sandwich. And they would put, I can't remember, like a barbecue type sauce. But one of the things they did put on it was their coleslaw.
They do that on their pulled turkey.
Yeah.
They've got, it's barbecue sauce and it's got the coleslaw on
it. That doesn't really surprise me, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, if the coleslaw is, like, made up into coleslaw, or are they mixing mustard in the coleslaw on hot dogs? I don't know. Or just mustard on a hot dog.
I think it's mustard and coleslaw.
It wouldn't be. I mean, I think it would be okay.
Yeah.
Maybe. Not everybody's cup of tea, though.
No, of course not.
That's for sure. Oh, Mark says ketchup on mashed potatoes. I mean, they're potatoes like fries, but they're not. That is kind of weird.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. Maybe. I don't know.
I think so. Ketchup on mashed
potatoes. I mean,
I mean,
not the norm. You don't normally see people doing that.
I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I only wanted butter on my mashed potatoes. It took me a while till I got into my teenagers before I finally developed a taste for gravy. Now I'm like, what was
you
I
didn't
thinking?
Didn't realize gravy was life.
Yeah, but I had cousins growing up. My older cousins, they would mix their mashed potatoes and corn together.
Oh yeah, we always mix.
So that. I don't remember them having mashed potatoes and gravy and then mixing their corn. And maybe they did, but I just remember the mashed potato part and the corn. So
corn or peas mixed.
I mean, technically, if you use ketchup on French fries. I mean, you could use it on a baked potato or mashed potatoes, for that matter, because it's still potatoes. But
it's just not you don't normally see that.
No,
yeah,
definitely
even
not.
On a baked potato, you don't normally see somebody mm-hmm. use ketchup
yep.
either. 701-293-9000. Looks like Trucker Al on the line this morning. Good morning to you, Al.
Good morning.
How
I'm
are?
Thinking the worst thing is Ludafisk got a plate.
Have you That'll even tried everything. It? Have you even tried it?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's so gross. It's so gross.
Well, I'll give you credit for at least trying it.
Yeah, no. Even though I'm Norwegian, you know, and my other Norwegian family, they love the stuff there, but no, I can't stand it.
Was that a...
I'll do sauerkraut, but not...
Oh, sauerkraut, yeah. Was the Lutefisk like a family specialty around the holidays when you were growing up?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then now that we're older, everybody wants to go to Sons of Norway, you know, a few times a year for their Lutefisk.
Yeah, they draw in a big crowd for that. That is a big deal. A lot of people like to go to that.
Yeah, and then it depends on how you make it, too. Some people boil it, some people bake it, too, you know, so. Mm.
It's probably better baked, I mean, if you had to pick, no?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
It's not as slimy.
Yeah. What do you think of ketchup on mashed potatoes?
No.
That just doesn't sound right, does it?
No. Although I see people put ketchup on potato chips.
Yeah, you can buy the ketchup potato chips up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'll have to bring you some down when I go up there.
Do you go up to Canada trucking or just for pleasure?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, no, trucking up there, yeah.
Mm. I had them once. I think they actually, I did see them in Hornbacher's maybe about a year ago. I don't know if they still have them, but I think they were selling them. I think it was ketchup and mustard close to the checkout where you were standing. You could see them sitting there. I don't know if they still have them. If they did well, I suppose they do. If they didn't, maybe they did away with them.
Yep. Then we got our Mexico trip already planned, too, so you're probably out of vanilla pretty soon.
With all the baking I did, I probably will be as soon as you go back, so you'll have to let me know.
I will do that.
Hey, Al, by the way, Al and his wife stopped by our veterans ceremony on Friday. I drew your name as one of the winners, but you were gone. Al.
Great.
You missed out. You had to be present. You could have got some concert tickets to the North Dakota State Fair or some gift cards to Sweet Shots we had on hand.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I felt a little bad. Yeah. I felt a little bad.
Yeah.
You weren't Next the time. Only one, though. We drew a few names and other people. It's like, oh, shoot, they left already. But that happens. You can't always stay for the whole thing sometimes.
It was raining so darn hard, too, you know, so.
Yeah, it was coming down pretty good on Friday. That was for sure. We happened to be standing under a tent, so we were protected. But yeah, it was coming down pretty good during the whole event.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
Take care. Right. Good hearing from you. What's one of the strangest things you've seen people put on food? That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morn. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com or drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Right now, we're getting your national news and sports in. And we got some severe weather here in the region. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with details.
Yeah, we've got some strong storms, severe storms, to the south of the FM area and just southwest of the FM area. Those will be pulling into the FM area. If you have your car outside, might want to put it in the garage if you can. There have been some reports of about half-inch hail down around the Widemere area, and we're looking at severe thunderstorm warning in effect for another few minutes, but that will more than likely be extended for our southern counties around Ransom, Richland, and Sargent counties. Severe storms lining up from about Widemere through Lidgerwood, Hankinson areas. Heavy rain, and again, up to about quarter to half inch size hail out of that is possible. And again, those storms moving east-northeast at 55 miles an hour. Those babies are cooking along. So they'll be here in the FM area probably between about 6:10 and 7 o'clock. You'll hear some pretty strong winds with that. Those storms will exit the area as we head towards lunchtime. And then the rest of the afternoon should be okay with highs in the upper 70s. Winds will switch to the west-northwest at about 10 to 20 and gusty today. So, again, a severe thunderstorm warning for Ransom, Richland, and Sargent. That will, it's just about ready to expire. More than likely, that will be extended for the counties to our south. We haven't had any reports of any hail on the northern tail of this, which that's what would be affecting the FM area. But don't be surprised if we could see some of those severe thunderstorm warnings extended into the valley itself. So keep that in mind. Again, main threat is going to be some strong, possibly damaging winds and hail up to about half-inch size.
That's something new for the morning, summer storms.
Mm-hmm. It's to get them in the morning here, you have to have a pretty dynamic storm system, and we do. We've got a little upper-level low that's pulling through. It's got quite a punch to it because normally you get thunderstorms with the heating of the day.
Yeah.
Right? So to get them this early in the morning, you've got to have a lot of stuff coming together, and sure enough, but we could use the rain too.
Yeah.
We should be picking up quarter, half inch of rain out of this.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, with some areas picking up a little bit more. So watch out for, again, some strong winds and hail up to about half inch size. And again, that should be pulling into the FM area and the valley here within the next 30 minutes.
I know we've had some thunder here this spring in a couple of those rain systems. Is this like the first severe thunderstorm that we're, is my memory that short?
Well, mine too. I mean, you're asking the wrong person.
I don't recall anything.
We've had a few severe storms, but nothing too bad. We had a wind event earlier, but other than that, no, we really haven't had that much in the way of severe weather yet so far this season.
Well, right on target too. You were saying mid-month, the weather pattern is going to get more active.
Bingo.
Too,
so. Yep, we're in that active part right now of the LRC cycle for about the next 7 to 12 days, and then things mellow out to start off July.
To start off July.
Yeah. What'd I say? End up?
No, you said to start off July, and I'm like, so what comes after the start of July?
Well, then we'll wait and see, won't we?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Dino, for that. He's got work to do. We'll let him go for a little bit. It is 5:48, Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. On a Monday morning, question of the morning, what's one of the strangest things you've seen people put on food? If you want to weigh in on that, 701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Relatively, other than a couple of major incidents, it was relatively quiet over the weekend on the news front. Of course, the shootings of lawmaker Melissa Hortman in Minnesota and her husband, along with State Senator John Hoffman and his wife. That was, of course, the big story, not only here locally and regionally, nationwide. Yep. All eyes were on that. The suspect, Vance Bolter, was captured last night near his farmstead in Green Isle, Minnesota. Apparently a neighbor saw him on trail cam and alerted authorities, but they were working super hard.
Yeah.
20 different SWAT teams, hundreds of detectives involved in the case. It was called the largest manhunt in state history. So there's a lot of people on edge when you've got a guy who was already killed, two people, wounded two others. You never know where his mindset is.
No, especially when he had a list of other potential targets as well. I mean, mostly a lot of the Democratic legislators in the state of Minnesota and he had a manifesto. I mean, he sent a text message to his roommates or whatever, apologizing for all the commotion and whatnot. And it's hard to get into the mindset and understand, because what he did and what happened is so far away from the person that they supposedly knew.
Right.
He was involved in his church. He had gone to other countries and spoke to them. Because they showed one clip, or maybe I saw that on social media, where he was somewhere and they had to like literally translate what he was saying. But he was doing that, so it just didn't really add up. So maybe that was the part of
his plan, that he had this whole other persona that no one would have ever suspected him. But obviously they figured out who the suspect was right away and, you know, took it from there. But good job by law enforcement to track him down, because yesterday morning when I was having the TV on, they were still looking for him in the south west of the Twin Cities out there. And I guess I didn't realize that he had a farmstead or whatever they was going to. But just quite the shock when you, because I saw it on our the notifications from our apps, and that the two state legislators had been shot along with their spouses, and you're just like, this is happening, you know, just next door. So it's kind of mind-boggling. It's hard to understand the mind of someone that does something like that.
And the good news is taking it into custody alive. That's a big thing too, and no shots fired, nobody else injured, none of the law enforcement during the pursuit of him either. But much more will be coming out on that story today. But just a tragedy over the weekend. And I started to see a little bit of news trickling out of the cities. A couple of the outlets started reporting. It must have been, I couldn't sleep last night. It was probably about 9:30 when I saw the first report that he was in custody, and then I saw a few more coming out. The governor and law enforcement had a news conference about 10 o'clock last night, so we got more details on that. But the good news is he is behind bars, Vance Bolter, after a two-day manhunt on that. And then huge protests going on all across the country. The No Kings rally, we had one here in Fargo that our news team covered too, and thousands of people showed up outside Fargo City Hall to take part in that. There were some isolated incidents, one for sure I think in Utah where there was somebody shot. There might have been one more, some violence in one more state, but overall it sounded like they were pretty peaceful protests.
I think they were peaceful protests. I think, if I'm not mistaken, over the weekend, I think there was a little more unrest in Los Angeles with their protests.
It's kind of been that way down there.
But it has been that way, like you said, over there. So other than that, it was a fairly calm weekend, so that was good. And there was no issues with the parade in D.C. then. There was no major protests or any kind of altercations between law enforcement and protesters there. So that was good that that went off without a hitch.
So those were the big two stories locally here, of course, but also nationwide. It's just tragedy there out of the Twin Cities. All right, question of the morning. What's one of the strangest things you've seen people put on food? 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Good morning, friend. Who's this?
Susie.
Hi, Susie. How are you this morning?
Good. I am really surprised that people think ketchup on mashed potatoes is really weird. I've done it all my life.
You have? I've never heard of anybody doing that.
Yeah, neither.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Even with gravy on it and then ketchup?
No, you put gravy and then ketchup?
Yeah.
Susie, you got to enjoy the gravy.
I mean, I know it's potatoes and we dip fries in ketchup, but I've never heard of anybody putting ketchup on mashed potatoes with gravy.
I am so surprised when somebody said that. I went, oh my God. I've done that all the time.
Is that part of your heritage or is just something that you've done?
Like, I don't know.
Did your folks do it that way?
Well, I know my dad puts ketchup on, or he did put ketchup on everything, but I'm the only one that did like mashed potatoes, I believe. But I just thought that the weirdest thing I've ever had is my grandpa would always put a big slug of butter on a radish. And then we'd eat it that way.
That's strange. Would that, like, temper down the heat of the radish then?
Yeah. I've never had a radish without butter.
Interesting. I'm not a huge radish fan. I've obviously eaten them, and usually it was either plain or put some salt on it, but maybe I'd like them better with butter on them.
See, no, I put, which I know I'm not supposed to, but I can't eat watermelon or avocado without salt.
Oh, okay.
That brings out the flavor, like, I think, anyway.
Well, I don't think there's a ton of flavor for avocados anyway, so.
Yeah, well, it does bring up the flavor of an avocado.
Oh, yeah, I can totally see that.
Yeah, the watermelon one, though, and I know other people that do that. To me, that kind of strikes me as a little odd, putting salt on watermelon.
Really?
Yeah.
Then again, my dad is a little bit odd.
Then I'm really odd.
Susie, don't you put sugar on tomatoes, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's different, too. You're not the only one. I know other people that do that. To me, that's kind of weird or odd. I remember putting salt and pepper on a tomato, but never sugar.
No, always sugar.
Huh. Yeah. Must be just the way, just different families have different ways of enjoying foods, I guess. Yeah.
I guess. Anyway, I just had to call him. I was really surprised. I didn't know it was that odd.
On the ketchup. Yeah, I've never heard ketchup on mashed potatoes, but that's okay. You enjoy it, so eat it that way, right?
That's right.
There you go. Susie, it's always good hearing your voice.
You too, honey. Have a good day.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. One of the strangest things you've seen people put on food, that's our question of the morning here on Bonnie and Friends, and the phone lines are always open to you. 701-293-9000, email studio at WDAYradionow.com. Drop your comments on our Bonnie and Friends WDAY Facebook page. Time to check in with WDAY Ag Director Bridget Riedel. 5:58 Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends WDAY Radio. Bonnie Amistadi, Jace Denman, and you. If you have registered for the Great Grocery Giveaway, make sure you listen for your name to be called. That's what you need to do in order to get qualified. Great Grocery Giveaway brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins. One of you is going to win $10,000 in groceries or a year's worth of groceries. 7 o'clock hour, we'll be announcing a name here on Bonnie and Friends. So be listening for your name to be called. There's a qualifying stop, too, tomorrow. I think Jimmy's going to be over at Grease Monkey between 2 and 5 p.m. So if you want to get qualified that way, stop in and say hi to Big Game James McCarty, Grease Monkey at 5240 27th Street South in Fargo.
Yep.
And yell at him because he wasn't at work today or Friday. No, I'm
Well, he'll be around tonight.
He'll be working tonight, yeah. And he needs to take his time off like Jace, too. Mm-hmm. So, but
listen, I took all my time off, allegedly.
I know. Well, you don't remember, but you did.
Well, that's what they tell me.
Strangest thing you've seen people put on food. That's our Bonnie and Friends question of the morning. I don't know if this is too strange. Trevor says he likes strawberry jam mixed into cottage cheese. He guesses he's weird, he says.
I mean, I guess.
Because I think they sell some of those. Aren't they like Breckies or something like that, where you can buy cottage cheese and some jam and then mix it in?
Breckies?
I think so, something like that.
I mean, I think I've seen something like that before, but you know, I think there's different add-ins because there's some people that eat fruit on cottage cheese or put other things on it. But to me, I don't know why I would want fruit with cheese, but you know, whatever.
I love cottage cheese. Yeah, okay. So it's not Breckies, it's Breakstones. I was close though. I had the Breck sort of Breakstones cottage cheese, strawberry. And you can mix it in. They've got peach. Daisy makes it, too. Yeah, that's not... Maybe it used to be weird, but now it's become a thing.
Yeah, I just... Breckies. I thought you were just trying to be cool and
no,
shorten
I wasn't.
Breakfast.
I thought that's what it was called, but it's actually Breakstones, the brand name of it.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind that. I could do that. I love cottage cheese. I had cottage cheese this morning, but I didn't put...
You did?
Yeah, I put some little bit of pumpkin seeds on it. Because I've got these big containers of it that I bought at Costco, and they're about to expire. I'm going to have some cottage cheese for breakfast today.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Toss on some pumpkin seeds. It was good. 601, we are WDAY Fargo. We got some stormy weather rocking here in the region. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has details on that coming up next. 6:03, some weather rocking out there this morning. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has details.
Yeah, we got some strong thunderstorms. They were severe earlier, but all the warnings have been discontinued. But there's still a line of strong storms knocking at Fargo's back door here out to the west. You'll probably see quite a bit of lightning if you look out to the west. Those storms lining up from about Amenia through Castleton down through Hankinson. And they're moving east quickly at about 50 miles an hour. So we will be seeing thunder boomers here over the next 10-15 minutes in the FM area. And they'll be quickly moving east. But behind it, we'll see a more general rain. So the line of stronger storms will push through. It won't take more than 30 minutes. And then behind that, on and off showers for the rest of the morning. Now, we'll have a high today around 78 with winds out of the southeast this morning, switching to the west-northwest, and about 10 to 25 and gusty this afternoon. Main threat with these storms this morning, we could see nickel-size hail and winds 50, 55 miles an hour as they push through the FM area. And again, the timing on that, from about 6:10 through about 6:40, that's when the strongest line will be pushing through the FM area and then quickly eastward into western Minnesota. So keep that in mind. If you're going to be out and about this morning, might see some small hail and some pretty strong winds with that as well. We'll quiet mellow it out tonight, partly cloudy down into the mid-50s with a northwest wind at 10 to 20. And tomorrow, not a bad day. Partly cloudy, light northwest winds, and highs right around 80. There's three more storm chances after Tuesday before the week is done. I wonder when that'll be. There's only 3 days left in the week. I'll run down the details of that. And we've got the hottest weather of the season so far heading our way just in time for the weekend. Finally.
Really?
Finally.
Hottest weather of the season. It's going to be a hot weekend. Yes,
it is going to be a hot weekend. So that's great news for our boat enthusiasts or pool lovers.
Or Alex from our sister station.
Or Bonnie, who loves the hot and humid weather.
Know. Alex does.
Yeah,
she
just what I want for Saturday.
What are you doing? Something outside?
Yeah, we're going to be in a little old booth up in Mayville for All-Star football games. So that'll be nice to have the young men out there playing football in 90-degree heat and humidity. So that shouldn't cause any concerns.
No, not at all. Plenty of water.
Embrace it. Summer is short, Jace.
It is. No doubt. Sure. Yeah. And that's an understatement.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, it's been a little on the cooler side. I think I saw something out of the Twin Cities where June has been the coolest in the coolest, one of the coolest summers or June.
We're only halfway through it.
I know. It was
We can make up for that real quick.
And maybe we will come this weekend. So.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, so much needed rain on the way this morning. Numerous chances this week. The storm, again, if you're just joining us, the storm's coming through here within the next few minutes. Going to contain maybe up to nickel size hail, so small hail, and 50, 55 mile an hour winds with this, and heavy rain as it pushes through.
That's not enough to make me want to flee the studio. I'll sit in this chair.
Be fine. These are hail proof glass windows.
Some of those ones that Jay Thomas and Ronnie
I'm not worried about the windows. I'm worried
with.
About my vehicle.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, I don't really need to get hail damage.
I'd be more concerned about the ones that build in the afternoon time.
Usually ones in the morning, those are the wind events and hail, but the ones in the afternoon, which if you're heading down 94, maybe going down towards the cities, they could get some stronger storms heading down 94 later this afternoon as the system pushes eastward, kind of hits that heating of the afternoon. Those things could pack a little more punch.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out for construction debris. A lot of those cones or pylons could get blown over there too, the barrels.
No doubt.
All right, thank you, Dean.
Question
of
the morning.
Oh, do you have time? I thought you had to go back there.
Nothing
and watch
severe,
weather.
So I can sit in here yap with you guys.
Okay. What's one of the strangest things you've seen people put on food? Susie puts ketchup on mashed potatoes and doesn't think that's weird at all. Oh, Janet says her mom loves sour cream and brown sugar sandwiches on white bread. She said she would lay it on thick.
We had brown sugar sandwiches as a kid as a treat, but that was just butter with brown sugar. So I mean, the butter was
just
there to make
like
it
cinnamon toast. No
cinnamon.
Yeah,
thick sour cream and brown sugar.
Wait, ketchup on mashed potatoes?
That's
I have
Susie.
Heard of that.
All right, you have?
I have actually heard of that. Yeah, it's. I'm not saying it sounds good, but
all right.
We did. You're gonna laugh. How about ketchup on peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Nope.
No. Yeah. Did you do that to be weird as a kid or you
college?
Liked it? Is it there?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It wasn't the best.
It was less than ideal.
That does not sound good.
No, it really wasn't. But after a few Budweisers, it really didn't matter at that point either.
All in, right?
Yeah.
6:08, we're going to get your national news in now from ABC. Then Jace has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:12, weekends made to enjoy time with your friends and family. It's also a great time for giving thanks and saluting those who make it all possible, our military and first responders out there for us every single day. And with summer here and it's going to be heating up this weekend, it is a great time to enjoy the Mango Blonde from Liftbridge Brewing In Stillwater, Minnesota, think tropical breeze from a fresh mango grove leading you into a light-bodied blonde ale.
That's such a dramatic reading. Thank you, Bonnie.
You're welcome. Reading finishing by Bonnie.
Finishing with subtle mango sweetness does not overpower that golden malt ale. It's made with natural flavors. It's perfect for the lake, boat, backyard, deck, patio, anywhere you're at during the summertime. And it's now available year-round in your local favorite liquor stores. While you're enjoying your weekend and tipping one back, remember to salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and those first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo.
Coming up 6:56 this morning, Flatland Music Flashback. We're going to showcase this band and this song. The song was about a girl the writer claimed to see while sleeping in the woods after taking a psychedelic drug. Yes, it's from the 1960s, in case you're wondering. Shocker! Time for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman.
Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks lost their series finale to the Lake County Dockhounds 8-3 yesterday. Good weekend turnout for the games, though. More than 4,000 fans turn out for that Father's Day game. Redhawks are off today, but will kick off a three-game homestand against Sioux City Explorers beginning tomorrow night at 7:02 p.m. Minnesota Twins got swept by the Houston Astros following a 2-1 10-inning loss in Houston yesterday. Twins led by one entering the ninth before Johan Duran blew the save. Cole Sands was charged with the loss in relief after giving up the game-winning hit in the 10th, while Brooks Lee homered in the losing effort. Twins remain in second place in the AL Central, but they are now 36-35. They were just 35-30 about a week ago, so they lost five out of their last six. They visit Cincinnati tomorrow. And on top of that, Royce Lewis is on the DL once again. Twins injury-prone former first overall pick was placed on the 10-day DL over the weekend. He strained his hamstring while running the bases Friday, which, I mean, I would do. But then again, I haven't warmed up, and I'm not a professional athlete, so it's a different story.
There's that, yeah.
He's hitting just .202 with two home runs and nine RBIs in 30 games this year. So it's not like they're going to miss his production. Deshaun Kearsey Jr. was called up from St. Paul to replace Lewis on the active roster. Minnesota Lynx last night, they got back on the winning ways. They improved to 10-1 on the season. They end up routing the Los Angeles Sparks 101-78. They were up by 32 at the half, and they just kind of coasted to victory. Nafisha Collier, stop me if you've heard this one before, she led the team in scoring. She had 32, while Courtney Williams had 17. Minnesota is in first place in the WNBA at 10-1, second place close behind New York Liberty 9-1. Lynx host the Las Vegas Aces tomorrow night. That, my friends, is a game to tune in tomorrow to. The best teams in the WNBA. Aces not off to a great start, but with Becky Hammon as their coach, you got to watch out for them. NBA Finals resume tonight. Oklahoma City got things evened up on Friday night after a 111-104 victory. They came from behind in the fourth quarter, flipping the script on the Pacers. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had the lead in that victory with a game-high 35 points. I believe 15 of those came in the last 5 minutes of the game. Both teams need two more wins to win that elusive NBA title. Oklahoma City's franchise hasn't won one since they were the Seattle Supersonics, and the Indiana Pacers have only won ABA championships, and that was before the merger. Kevin Durant, we've heard rumors all weekend about maybe him being traded and possibly headed into Minnesota. Well, he finally let everybody know where he would prefer to be traded, and that is into either Miami, San Antonio, or Houston. Obviously, Miami, good organization, good coach, no state income taxes, just saying. I'm not sure if Texas has state income taxes or not, because Spurs and Rockets are two of the teams he's interested in. He's due
about, that would be a big deal when you make that much money, too.
He's due almost $55 million next season. It would take a lot for the Wolves to get him, although pairing him with Anthony Edwards could be very interesting, but I don't like the cost of having to do that. However, Phoenix has said, even though that Durant has his preferences, they're going to make the best deal for the organization, which is the way to go. So that may mean he gets traded to someone off his preferred list. We'll have to wait and see. Florida Panthers on Saturday got one win closer to a repeat as Stanley Cup champions. They beat Edmonton 5-2 on Saturday night. Game six will be tomorrow night in Florida, where they can wrap things up and get their second Stanley Cup championship in a row against the same team. So
If not, if they can't get that win on Tuesday night, game seven would take place in Edmonton. That would be, gosh, what is that, Friday? No, Friday or Saturday, I think that game would be. J.J. Spahn is celebrating his first major championship after he won the U.S. Open. He ended at the top of the leaderboard at 1-under par to win the tournament by two strokes. Tom Hoagie, unfortunately, did not make the cut in the tournament, so he did not advance to weekend play. Men's College World Series recap, where our very own big game James McCarty has been taking in the festivities down there. A couple of games yesterday. Arizona was the first team eliminated. They lost 8-3 to Louisville in an elimination game. Cardinals scored six runs in the eighth inning to get the win. In the nightcap, Coastal Carolina, one of your smaller schools, beat Oregon State 6-2. Action continues today with an elimination game between Arkansas and Murray State. Murray State, a little bit of a surprise team there. Arkansas, they had lost to LSU. Two of the best teams had to face off in that opening game, so we'll see if Arkansas can rebound against Murray State. And then LSU in that winner's bracket game will take on UCLA.
All right, we are under a severe thunderstorm warning that includes the metro area here. We'll see some winds picking up. Dino says, what about quarter-inch size hail? So say possibility of maybe some dime-size hail that we might see here. And we can see see the rain coming down, but we can hear the thunder rumbling. Mm-hmm. Pretty gentle. Nothing terrible. I like
you
that.
Say
I
so.
Love thunderstorms. Well, I don't like
so
severe
do
weather,
yeah.
But I do like good thunderstorms, especially if I'm sleeping, which obviously I'm not doing right now.
Well, we could be sleeping if we weren't up so early.
Yeah. The sound of rain, that's probably why they have that on some of those sound machines that people go to sleep
with. I love when you play those thunderstorm sounds. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's really relaxing.
However, for some people, it scares them.
It does.
And
sometimes
pets too.
Sometimes it scares your pets. And, yeah. You know, it's not for everybody, but I guess as long as it's not doing major damage, we're not talking tornadoes and other violent storms, then a thunderstorm is just, it's flashes of lightning, the thunder, and some nice rain coming down. It's just, like I said, it's just relaxing.
As a little kid, I think my mom just had perfect mindset to put it in for us. We'd be up in the woods picking mm-hmm. berries, and you'd hear the thunder rumbling, and we needed to get home, which mm-hmm. would probably be a quarter mile walk
yep.
at the most or whatever. But she would just tell us it was the angels bowling. And I've always liked hearing that. It was like, yeah, when you're trying to comfort little kids, you know, you got seven kids, and you're trying to walk them mm-hmm. back home, and you got thunder rumbling, and of course, lightning maybe we could see in
sure.
the distance. And obviously, especially us younger kids, we're going to be afraid of that.
Yep.
But Mom managed to keep us all calm. It is 6:20. When it comes to beards and mustaches, do those carry like bacteria? There's a study out on that, and we'll talk about it straight ahead. 6:23 Monday morning, severe thunderstorm warning till about 6:30 here in the FM metro area. It's rain's coming down pretty good. We hear the thunder, probably some lightning strikes. I can't see them through our window, but good chance that's probably happening out there as well.
It's flashing a little bit out there, Bonnie.
And what did Dean say? Like maybe up to 50 mile an hour winds here,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, something
like that. And small hail, maybe dime size at the most, potentially.
Good thing I got my insurance guy's phone number on speed dial.
I'm not too worked up about dime size hail or smaller.
I am. I just got it paid off. I don't need dents in it already.
I don't think dime size hail is going to cause a lot that much damage. That's pretty.
But
I
mean, if it does,
yeah, well, do you think
Bonnie,
it's going to occur right over your vehicle?
Just over my vehicle. That would be the only place it happens.
Do you have that bad of luck?
Sometimes, you know, like my dad said, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
There you go. They wrote a song about that too.
Well, I mean, to be fair though, usually it always evens out.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Beards, mustaches, beards,
goatees, goatees.
How dirty
mustache.
Are you? Mustache. It depends on who you're asking, which research you're looking at.
I have heard for a long time that facial hair, you know, by the end of the, I don't know if it's just by the end of the day or what, it's got more bacteria in it than I don't know if it's a toilet seat or something. It's supposed to be just nasty. And I'm just like, I mean, every time I take a shower, and I'm a usually at least once a day shower, probably some days twice if I go to the gym or whatever. But I mean, you're always washing your goatee.
Yeah.
I mean, either with soap. Sometimes if it gets a little bit longer, you can maybe use some shampoo on it to try and make it a little bit softer, not so coarse. But I mean, If your goatee is dirty, then that probably means your whole face is dirty. So I think that's
what it boils down to, how clean of a person you are, right?
I would think so,
because
yeah.
a lot of guys I know with facial hair do a good job. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes, like, if they got a big beard or whatever,
yeah,
crumb might stick in there, but
yeah,
I've seen them combing
long,
it, too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I had, you know, a good buddy of mine that had a very long beard. He got into the old beard competitions, et cetera. So, yeah, if they're longer like that, maybe you don't take the time to really thoroughly wash it. I mean, my goatee has never been super, super long. So I guess I don't quite agree with the whole that the beards and mustaches are filthy. I mean, my dad's had a beard for pretty much my entire lifetime of my younger brother, who's 5 years younger than me. So we're talking like 48 years dad's had a beard.
He's doing
now,
fine.
Granted, he's cut it much shorter these days, but, yeah. You know.
Well, they say it's a moist place for bacteria to thrive
moist.
If you have facial hair. Mixed results over how hygienic they are. Some early studies raise concerns. Facial hair may be home to more harmful bacteria, but others show no difference between bearded and clean-shaven workers. If beards are cleaned regularly and well-maintained, like you said,
mm-hmm.
that will greatly reduce the chance for harmful yeah. bacteria to grow.
I could see to some extent if you had, let's go to the extreme. Let's say you have a homeless person. They don't have a place to live, number one. They're living on the street. They don't have time or whatever to shave, so they've grown this long beard. Yeah, I could see that beard, you know, especially in those type of situations. But then again, the person themselves might be fairly dirty and unhygienic at that point in time as well. But, I mean, you're a common everyday person. I mean, we've got, well, James will just not shave for a week, and then it looks like he's growing facial hair, but, you know, he's kind of not.
Yeah.
But, you know,
line,
we've got Greg, Brad, I think, Dustin downstairs, I think. I mean, we've got a number of guys here that have at least goatees. And granted, a lot of them are fairly short,
yeah.
so they're easy to maintain. But, I mean, I wouldn't think they're any dirtier than our two bosses. Or,
well, wash your face when you take
although JT's goatee, yeah, that's probably pretty dirty.
Oh, I just heard from Beth in South Fargo, it's yeah. hailing.
Great.
So there is some
stay
hail.
Stay south of here.
There is some hail across parts of the metro, at
mm-hmm.
least. And Dean said that there was a chance with the severe thunderstorm that's rolling through to drop mm-hmm. some smaller size hail, maybe dime size or even smaller than that.
Yeah.
Winds could be up to 50, 55 miles an hour. So watch out, too, as you're going through the work zones with reduced visibility and the heavy rain. But
mm-hmm.
Also potential for some of those barrels or cones to get tipped over.
Yep.
That'll be moving out pretty soon. The severe thunderstorm warning will be expiring here in a little bit. But there's a chance through the early morning hours here that we will continue to see more showers and thunder showers. And he's saying, I don't know, about a quarter to possibly up to a half inch,
yeah.
depending on where you're at for rain. And we need the rain.
Yes,
no
definitely
doubt about
do.
It. All right. Don't forget, we're going to be drawing a contestant, or we'll be announcing a name, put it that way.
Yeah,
for our
listen
great,
for your name, people.
Great grocery giveaway. We do that in the 7 o'clock hour here on Bonnie and Friends. One of you is going to win groceries for a year. That is $10,000 in groceries, brought to you by Alsager Meats and Kingpins.
Yeah, that's a... that's a lot of groceries,
yes, it is.
Especially, you know, even for like a family of four or more, that'll cover you pretty much for, like you said, an entire year. Everyone who qualifies is going to be invited to our great grocery giveaway grand prize party at Kingpins on Thursday, July 10th, where one person is going to win those groceries for a year. We've got a couple of qualifying spots this week. Tuesday, tomorrow at Grease Monkey from 2 to 5, Big Game James will be there. That's over on 5240 27th Street South. And then Thursday this week, June 19th, Bark and Biscuits. That's located at 3985 56th Street South. Alex from our sister station will be there from 2 to 5 getting people registered. You're going to drop your name in the box, and a couple names will be drawn, and there'll be qualifiers that will get to go to that great grocery giveaway grand prize. And then, obviously, be paying attention, because if we announce your name, you're going to have 9 minutes and 70 seconds, also known as 10 minutes and 10 seconds, to get called in and have us confirm you as a invitee to the grand prize party. So make sure you're listening.
And that party will be on Thursday, July 10th. So if you get qualified, make sure you show up for that. Got some good thunder we can hear outside. Also, Beth checking back in says the the hail in South Fargo that she has seen this morning is pea-sized.
Yeah. And a new thunderstorm warning has just been issued. Severe thunderstorm warning now. Now, it officially includes Fargo, but this line is moving so quick. It's already, the severe part is already passed through Fargo, but it does include Clay County and northern Wilkin County. Right now, the line of severe storms lining up from about Riley's Acres through Moorhead and just to the east of Wahpeton, moving eastward at about 55 to 60 miles an hour. Again, main threat with this is going to be 60-plus mile-an-hour winds, and we could see that most of the reports are pea-sized to nickel-sized hail, but we could, in some isolated, there's a pocket of intense storms with the better chance for large hail just about 10 miles northeast of downtown Fargo. Ooh. So moving into Clay County. So you'll want to keep an eye on that. So, again, a severe thunderstorm warning in effect officially for Fargo, but again, this band is already pushed through. So basically, Clay County, northern Wilkin County till 7 o'clock. Riley's Acres through Moorhead, and just to the east of Wahpeton, this line of storms is arcing and moving again east at about 55 to 60 miles an hour. So if you're in Clay County, your main threat with this is going to be some winds approaching 60 plus, and then you could see up to quarter-size hail. But again, so far we've seen pea to nickel size hail, but we could see up to quarter size hail, especially with that one cell about 10 miles northeast of downtown Fargo.
All right, more on the weather coming up shortly. It is 6:31. 6:33, rumbles of thunder out there, strong winds, and even some hail. Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here with a check on our forecast.
Yeah. Well, we're looking at strong, severe storms, I should say, pushing east of the FM area right now. Severe thunderstorm warning in effect for Clay and northern Wilkin. Now, it does include Fargo, but we're pretty much in the clear here in the FM area due to the fact, or in Fargo, because the storms have moved just east. But about 15, 20 miles east of the FM area, there's a stronger storm within this line of storms. We're around that area, you could see maybe up to a quarter-inch hail. We've had numerous reports of pea-sized and nickel-sized hail. And again, strong winds up to 60 miles an hour. These storms are very quickly moving to the east between 55 and 60, and it'll be out of our area here within the next 30 minutes. And behind that, then, just general scattered showers for the next couple of hours. And then a cold front swings through close to lunchtime. That'll turn our winds to the west-northwest, a little breezy this afternoon, with highs in the upper 70s. So, again, for the next 15, 25 minutes, areas east of the river are expecting those strong storms and severe storms through Clay County. So, again, very quick moving. They're not going to last much longer. Then tonight, partly cloudy. We'll mellow it out, mid-50s. Tomorrow, not a bad day. Partly cloudy with light northwest winds and highs right around 80. And then low 80s on Wednesday. A chance for storms coming in Wednesday night into Thursday morning. And then we'll dry things out Thursday afternoon. It'll be breezy, a little cooler, mid-upper 70s. And then another round of storms Thursday night into Friday morning. And then highs on Friday in the lower 80s. And then one more round of storms Friday night into early Saturday morning, with highs in the upper 80s. And then it looks like Sunday we should be in the mid-90s around here. So if you're a fan of the boat, pool, you know, we haven't had a lot of 90. We had that one, what, 3-4 days in May. That was it, of 90-degree weather. Mm-hmm. And then more storms coming in late Sunday night into Monday as cooler air pushes into the area. So quite a few chances for storms. Again, we're in that active part of the LRC cycle between now and for the next 10 days, so almost through the end of the month. And again, if you're just joining us, severe thunderstorm warning for Clay and northern Wilkin as that line of storms pushes east of the FM area and will affect areas east of Moorhead and then south towards Barnesville, where we could see nickel quarter-size hail and winds up to 60 miles an hour.
Is this activity here this morning in the cause a rise in humidity? Is it going to be humid today then because of it?
No, because when the cold front hits by lunchtime, ushers in drier air. But otherwise,
it would be. Well, yeah, probably. Some good lightning right there then.
Yeah. Nice. It's nice. Yeah. Boy, if you didn't have your alarm set, I'm sure this woke you up. This probably woke you up this morning.
Or your dog,
sure.
Your children woke you
right?
Up.
No doubt. No doubt.
A lot of them don't like it. All right. Thanks, Dino.
You bet.
Flatland Music Flashback. That'll be coming your way about 6:56 this morning. Brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store dedicated to quality guitar repairs. We're going to be showcasing this song from this musical which was a box office smash, became the highest grossing musical of all time. Find out what it is. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56. 6:36, time for your national news from ABC. We'll check in with the American Ag Network, and Jay Stenman has your WDAY Radio Sports. 6:42, Big Game James McCarty will be back on air with us tomorrow morning, but for now, Jace has our sports covered. Time for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jay Stenman.
Thank you, Monty.
Did I give you enough time to finish chewing the caramel? I gave him a little warning. I said, you got sports coming up. Is your caramel gone? Just push it over to the side of your
cheek. It's in the
cheek.
Between my cheek and gum. Salted caramel.
Was that your Father's Day gift, one of them?
Yeah.
Or was it a treat? Yeah, it was. Nice. Mm-hmm. Nice.
Well, she went shopping for some shoes and some other things and then...
And thought of you. You were an afterthought. You got caramels.
Now the There's some more studio's thunder. Rumbling. Mm-hmm. There's some good thunder right there.
There you go. Yeah, I like
so,
it.
So, yeah, so... You give your kid money to go get the stuff they need, and then they buy you something.
Yeah.
So.
Makes sense.
Yeah, totally. Fargo-Moorhead lost their series finale against the Lake County Dockhounds. 8-3 yesterday. Good turnout, though, in the stands. Over 4,000 fans turned out for the Father's Day game. Redhawks are off today, but will kick off a three-game series against Sioux City beginning tomorrow night at 7:02 p.m., as always. Minnesota Twins, not so lucky. They were swept by the Houston Astros following a 2-1 10-inning loss in Houston. Twins led by one entering the ninth before Johan Duran blew the save. They lost in that extra innings. Twins remain in second place in the AL Central, though. They are at 36-35. They visit Cincinnati tomorrow. That kind of concludes just an overall bad week for them. They go 1-5 over the week and drop to just a game over 500 when they had entered at 35-30. Royce Lewis is also out now. For the Twins, he was put on the 10-day DL over the weekend. He strained his hamstring while running the bases on Friday. He's hitting just .202 with two home runs and nine RBIs in 30 games this year. So Twins call up Deshaun Kearsey Jr. from the St. Paul Saints to replace him on the active roster. If you want some winning Minnesota, well, look no further than your Minnesota Lynx. They got off to a fast start during a 101-78 rout of the Los Angeles Sparks at Target Center on Saturday. They were up by 32 at the half and cruised to victory. Nafisha Collier, your all-WNBA player there, she had 32 points in the victory, and Courtney Williams added 17 points. Minnesota is now 10-1 on the season, and they host the Las Vegas Aces tomorrow night. That's a big matchup there just based on the fact that the Aces have won two out of the last three WNBA titles. Speaking of basketball, the NBA Finals resume tonight. Oklahoma City will host the Indiana Pacers in Game 5. Thunder tied the series up at two games apiece with a 111-104 victory on Friday night in Indianapolis. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led the Thunder to the victory with a game-high 35 points, 15 of those coming in late in the fourth quarter. Both teams need two more wins to get that NBA title, and I really think this series is going to go seven games. Panthers of Florida, they're trying to win their second straight Stanley Cup. And they'll be able to do that potentially on Tuesday as they took game five in Edmonton, 5-2. It looks like they had Brad Marchand became the first player in league history to score at least five goals in two cup final series with two different teams. So he's been a great addition for the Panthers. I believe they got him at the trade deadline. Game seven would take place in Edmonton if Edmonton can get a win on Tuesday night. J.J. Spahn is your winner at the U.S. Open. It's his first major championship. Robert McIntyre finished second. Victor Hovland was third. And Cameron Young, Tyrell Hatton, and Carlos Ortiz finished in a three-way tie for fourth at three over par. Tom Hoge, unfortunately, did not make the cut. Down at the College World Series in Omaha, Arizona Wildcats were the first team eliminated. They lost 8-3 to Louisville. In the nightcap, Coastal Carolina won in a winner's bracket game. They beat Oregon State 6-2. Action today with the other bracket continues when you have an elimination game between the highest rated team in the country right now, Arkansas, who's the third overall ranked seed coming into the tournament. They take on Murray State this afternoon, while in the winner's bracket, it'll be a matchup between LSU and UCLA. And tonight right here on WDAY Radio, you're going to have a Track Talk with Jason Berg from 6:30 to 8 p.m., and James and I will be over
on our sister station, The Flag, covering the Optimus All-Star Volleyball matchup at 7 p.m.
All right, Sports This Hour brought to you by Pebble Lake Golf Club. They've been voted one of the top 25 public golf courses in the state of Minnesota. Find out why. Get tee times online at playpebblelake.com. News breaking late last night, the suspect in the killing of a Minnesota state lawmaker and the serious wounding of another over the weekend is now in custody after a massive manhunt. Vance Bolter caught near his farmstead in Green Isle, that's about 50 miles southwest of Minneapolis, after he was spotted on a trail cam by a neighbor. He's accused of killing State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband. He's also accused of shooting Democratic Senator John Hoffman and his wife, who are recovering. Both of them are expected to survive. If you want to read more about it, go to WDAYRadioNow.com. 6:47, we're going to be heading back to the American Ag Network next. And don't forget, coming up right around 6:56, Flatland Music Flashback, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo.
It was on this date in 1990, this band started a two-week run at number one with this song. It was featured on the Pretty Woman soundtrack. We'll find out what that song was and who sang it coming up next on Flatland Music Flashback.
Time now for Flatland Music Flashback. Flatland Guitar Music Store, built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. The Drug Years. I mean, looking at me like, this is weird.
That song took a weird turn all of a sudden, like they're playing on the Kill a Kid's toy piano. 1967, Pink Floyd released their second single, See Emily Play. It was written by frontman Syd Barrett. It was about a girl he claimed to see while sleeping in the woods after taking a psychedelic drug.
Yeah, you were kind of right in the kid's toy. The slide guitar work on the song was done by Barrett using a plastic ruler.
Hmm.
Song makes the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's list of 500 songs that shaped rock and roll.
It didn't shape my rock and roll.
Mine neither.
Never heard that one before. In 1972, David Bowie released his fifth studio album, The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars. The album is consistently considered one of the greatest albums of all time.
Suffragette City is on Rolling Stone's list of 500 greatest songs of all time. Yeah, Jay, shape up. I don't need a man.
It's like so
weird.
I'm busy.
1978.
Grease, starring John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, was released. It was a box office smash and became the highest-grossing musical of all time, eclipsing a 13-year record held by The Sound of Music, and I saw it in the back seat of my mom and dad's car.
There you go. It remained the highest-grossing musical until being passed by Les Miserables in 2012.
That sounds miserable.
Yeah, it kind of does. Soundtrack is also one of the best-selling albums of all time.
Ah, senior year, 1990. Roxette started a two-week run at number one with It Must Have Been Love. The song feature on the Pretty Woman soundtrack was the duo's third U.S. number one.
The Swedish pop rock duo had 9 hit songs over the years, including 4 number ones. Lead singer Marie Fredriksson died in 2019 after a 17-year cancer battle.
17 years, wow. Yeah. But I won't do that.
Well, don't do that.
Okay, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
In 2016, Meatloaf was rushed to the hospital after collapsing on stage during a concert in Edmonton, Canada. He was performing his Grammy Award-winning hit, I'd Do Anything for Love, when he dropped his microphone and fell to the floor.
Severe dehydration was blamed for his collapse. Meatloaf, one of the best-selling recording artists of all times, he died in January of 2022 of COVID complications.
Having a birthday today, singer and songwriter and actor Eddie Levert of the OJs is 83. The group is still performing all around the world. In 1973, they had a number one hit with Love Train.
Great tune. If you're having a birthday today, happy birthday to you, too. Be listening for your name to get called the Great Grocery Giveaway. We're going to find a qualifier in the next hour. One of you is going to win groceries for a year, $10,000 in groceries, brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins. And if you haven't signed up yet, go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Click on the Great Grocery Giveaway and sign up for that. 7 o'clock, we are WDAY Fargo. 7:02, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki is here. Are things settling down in the weather department?
Well, in the FM area, yes. Okay. But off to our east now, getting into Lakes Country from Hitterdale through Pelican Rapids. Line of severe storms that will continue moving towards Detroit Lakes. You're going to be under the gun here within the next 10 minutes. And these are cooking along east-northeast at 55 miles an hour. So very quick moving. We did have reports of quarter-size hail now in West Fargo. Again, this was as that storm system moved through earlier. But this is the same line of storms that's moving now into Lakes Country. So again, you could see anywhere from pea-size to quarter-size hail with these. And winds 50 to 60 miles an hour. Again, severe thunderstorm warnings now east of the valley, exiting eastern Clay County now, moving towards the DL area. So keep that in mind. If you're listening to our east, you're going to see these line of severe storms move through very quickly. We picked up a third of an inch here so far at the station here, and that's generally going to be the case, about a third of an inch. And now just light showers behind the main band, and those will be out of here by noon as a cold front swings through. And winds will turn to the west-northwest this afternoon, 10 to 25. And highs in the upper 70s, mid-50s tonight, a quiet day tomorrow, looking good. Partly cloudy, light northwest winds, highs close to 80. And then Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. These all look like nocturnal events. You know what nocturnal is? Okay.
At nighttime. Sorry.
Just checking. I'm just checking to see if Bonnie was listening.
I was listening, too.
Okay.
Were you?
I know you had the answer sooner, but I didn't have your mic. Sorry. Go ahead, take full credit for it, but I knew the answer.
Yeah, so nighttime events, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. Upper 70s to low 80s, and then summer heat returns for the weekend. Upper 80s on Saturday, mid-90s on Sunday, but then a cold front quickly nips that in the bud as we head into Monday. Storms and temperatures around 80 again. Quite a few chances for storms, and again, we could be looking at, this might not be the only round of severe weather over the next 7 to 10 days. We got a pretty active weather pattern that we're heading into, so we'll catch up on rainfall because we've been a little bit behind.
Yep.
Not a lot, but a little bit. And again, a quick third of an inch here, and then again, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, more storms. But again, if you're in Lakes Country right now, the strongest, the line of the storms, severe, had stretching from about Hitterdale through Pelican Rapids, and that's moving towards the DL area. So be prepared for that. Again, about nickel-sized to quarter-size hail and 50 to 60 mile-an-hour winds expected.
Oh, fun. Well, it's been the weather's been brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation, but right now it's time for our Tailgaters 2-degree guarantee.
I think he likes to get yelled at as he tries to walk out of here.
Every Monday, Dean's going to give us the expected high temperature for today. And if Dean's within 2 degrees, you can celebrate at Tailgaters on Tuesday with a $2 tap for a domestic pint, and then the pints are just $4 each for the rest of the night. And if he misses, which he did last week for the first time, you can celebrate his failure with a $2 Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
And that'll be just $3 for the rest of the night after that. So
the crowd was loving it last week.
So, Dean, what is your predicted high for today?
120.
I think you're embellishing.
So Dave's the owner over at the Tailgater. Yeah. Sorry, Dave.
Fan favorite.
Right. 78 for the Tailgaters 2-degree Tuesdays.
There you go. All right. Thank you, Dino. And as always, you can enjoy live music on Thursday nights at Tailgaters at the corner of Main and University in downtown Fargo. And once again, if he is right, your first domestic beer is only going to be $2, and then it'll be $4 each after that. But if he's wrong, then your first Long Island iced tea is only $2, then they're $3 the rest of the night. So stay tuned for tomorrow morning's Tailgaters 2-degree guarantee to let us know if he's right or wrong.
Now he can be excused from class.
Yes,
at 7:30, Wysocki. Okay. Hey, you can enjoy your summer if you are running on empty. Cerasset helps your brain do what it was designed to do, restore and rebalance. Whether you're having trouble sleeping, maybe a brain fog, or stress is holding you back, Cerasset can help you feel recharged and ready for the season.
This summer, don't just survive, thrive. Call Cirruset Fargo at 701-566-5231 and schedule your introductory session today. If you want to find out more, you can go to their website. That's cirruset.com, which is cereset.com.
7:07, we are going to get your national news in from ABC. Then Jace Denman has a check on your WDAY Radio Sports. 7:11, time to check out your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman.
Minnesota Twins are glad to get that week over.
Yeah, it was a
they
rough
were
week.
Swept by the Houston Astros 2-1 in a 10-inning loss yesterday. Twins were up by one entering the ninth before they blew that game and then gave it up in the 10th. And they remain in second place in the AL Central at 36-35, and they visit Cincinnati tomorrow, but after a 1-5 week, kind of that momentum they had been building up to really kind of get above 500 and really get things going the right direction, it's kind of taken a little detour there. And obviously, with the pitching injuries they've had, it's been a rough week this past week. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks, they lost their series finale to Lake County 8-3 yesterday. Good turnout there by the fans. Over 4,000 fans turned out for the Father's Day game. Redhawks are off today, but it will kick off a three-game homestand against Sioux City beginning tomorrow night at 7:02, which I think after looking outside this morning, granted it'll clear up later today, but I think the weather should be real good for the game starting tomorrow here in town. Adding insult to injury, Royce Lewis is out once again for the Minnesota Twins. He's going to be put on the 10-day DL. He strained a hamstring while running the bases on Friday. Not a huge loss as of right now. He's hitting just .202 with two home runs and nine RBIs in 30 games this season. So with his absence, the Twins call up Deshaun Kearsey Jr. from the St. Paul Saints, put him on the active roster. Trying to be positive, well, let's look at the Minnesota Lynx. They got off to a fast start, and they end up routing the Los Angeles Sparks 101-78 at Target Center on Saturday. Lynx were up by 32 at the half and were led by Nafisa Collier's 32 points, and Courtney Williams chipped in 17. Minnesota has got the top record in the WNBA at 10-1, and they will host the Las Vegas Aces tomorrow night. Tonight on the hardwood, NBA Finals resume, tied at two games apiece after Oklahoma City came back in the fourth quarter on Friday night to tie that series at two. They were led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's game-high 35 points. The game tonight will be Game 5 in Oklahoma City. After that comeback win by Oklahoma City, I think this series is probably going to go seven games, but obviously anything could happen. Either team can win on either team's home court, so we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. Florida Panthers, they are just one game away from winning back-to-back Stanley Cups as they took a game 5 in Edmonton on Saturday night, 5-2. Game 6 will be tomorrow in Florida, and it'll be a chance for the Panthers to win back-to-back Stanley Cups for the first time in their franchise history. Game 7 would be in Edmonton if the Oilers can get the victory tomorrow night. In the U.S. Open that was held in Oakmont, Pennsylvania, J.J. Spahn is celebrating his first major championship. He finished the tournament at 1-under par to win that tournament by two strokes. Rounding out the top five is going to be Robert McIntyre in second, Victor Hovland in third, and then a tie for fourth with Cameron Young, Tyrell Hatton, and Carlos Ortiz. Tom Hoagie, unfortunately, did not make the cut in that one. Men's College World Series baseball recap that our big game, very own big game, James is enjoying in Omaha. I believe he went to the early game yesterday, which was an elimination game between Arizona and Louisville, which Louisville won 8-3. Cardinals scored six runs in the eighth inning to get that win. In the nightcap, Coastal Carolina, who won the tournament, I believe, about 9 or 10 years ago, they beat Oregon State 6-2. Action continues today with an elimination game between Arkansas and Murray State in the afternoon, followed by a winner's bracket game between LSU and UCLA. Tonight, right here on WDAY Radio, we got Track Talk with Jason Berg from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And on our sister station at 7 p.m., we're going to have Optimus Club High School Volleyball All-Star matchup between the I think it's going to be between the double A's versus the A/B team rather than East versus West is my understanding. So
Stay tuned for all that action tonight, starting at 7 p.m. over on our sister station, The Flag.
I didn't realize it's been close to 2 years, 21 months to be exact, since yes. Shohei Ohtani has mm-hmm. not played because he had to have elbow surgery, and he will be back on the mound tonight for the Dodgers.
No, he's been playing. He just hasn't pitched.
Oh, he just oh, so he's been batting.
Yeah,
but
he went 2 for 3 this Saturday night and had 2 home runs.
So his first time pitching in almost 2 years. But mm-hmm. still, I'm hoping. It's curious to see if he's still at where he was prior to his injury.
Well, and I was talking to him because we saw the highlights, and he just cranked out 2 home runs, and like there was one was to start the game on Saturday because we were watching the highlights yesterday morning, and. I said, you know, he's just amazing because he is just an absolute beast when it comes to batting at the plate. And then he's also a very good pitcher. And and like I said, I didn't realize it had been almost 2 years already since he pitched. But my dad was asking about last season. I was like, well, he just played in the field and batted last year. He didn't pitch because of an injury that prevented him from it. So now he's going to be back to pitching. So, I mean, I just it's funny we haven't seen more players like him. In the last, say,
that's
15 to 20 years.
Talent,
it's a special talent, but you would think with the way all of these players get bigger, faster, stronger every single year, and they're so talented, I'm surprised he's the first legitimate, I want to say, and James is much more articulate in baseball, but I think he was the first, like, truly, you know, potential Cy Young winner combined with a potential home run leader. As well. So, I mean, it's just a phenomenal combination of talent. And for him to be the only one like this, it's really special because a lot of times the best pitchers out there, they really kind of move farther and farther away from having to bat. Now that both leagues have designated hitters, the pitchers don't have to worry about batting. And we've seen some pitchers that have been able to hit the long ball and do well at the plate, but nothing like Shohei Ohtani.
Do you see, I know Mitch Garver, a former Minnesota Twin, he was good at bat as well as catching, but do you see catchers often playing, or is it, are they batting too?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, just not the pitchers.
Usually it's just the pitchers when it comes to DHs, because you want to save your pitchers just for pitching. And
that makes sense.
Then normally, based on the fact that your pitchers are typically only, like your starting pitchers only pitch every fifth game. So you're not getting as many at-bats if you're a pitcher anyway. So that's probably why you're not quite as efficient as a batter if you're a pitcher. So, no, everybody else is usually going to bat every game that's playing in the field. It's usually the pitchers because, you know, you're focusing on just pitching. So
got it. Well, we'll see. I bet he hasn't missed a beat. I bet he's just as good.
He'll probably be out there throwing maybe not necessarily a no-hitter, but he'll probably go six innings and get a quality start, and we'll see how the Dodgers do, so.
All right, the big news that broke late last night, the suspect wanted in the murder of Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband and the shooting of Senator John Hoffman and his wife was taken into custody. He is expected to make a court appearance this afternoon. His name is Vance Bolter. He was caught in Green Isle, Minnesota, about 50 miles southwest of the metro area. That's where his farm is located, and the neighbor apparently spotted him on trail cam and alerted authorities. And after a 2-day manhunt, he is in custody. He is facing 2 counts of murder, 2 counts of attempted murder, and the Justice Department looking into possible federal charges after investigators say they found a potential hit list with the name of some federal lawmakers as well. So stay tuned for that. If you want to read more about it, you can go to WDAYRadioNow.com. Our news center was on top of that breaking story throughout the weekend. Eating more of these may help improve your sleep. We will talk about that coming up next because Bridget off today. She's speaking somewhere and getting an award somewhere.
She's super important.
She is today and tomorrow. So we'll cover the gaps. Eating more of these may improve your sleep. And I know a lot of you could use help in the sleep department. Details straight ahead. All right, be listening. We're going to be calling out one of your names here for the great grocery giveaway. One of you is going to win groceries for a year. That's $10,000 in groceries brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins. Sometime this hour, we're going to call out a name. And if it is you, you have 9 minutes, 70 seconds, or 10 minutes, 10 seconds to call in to our studio line, 701-293-9000. You're already getting your little stopwatch.
Getting the stopwatch ready to go.
He's very accurate and prompt about this. You got to call in that time frame because we have had a couple of people that have called and they've been late because they weren't listening, but somebody told them and they called late and we had to say sorry.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be in the allotted time. So, yeah, even if it's a friend, a neighbor, a relative's name you hear, let them know about it.
Maybe they'll buy you something if they win the $10,000 in groceries.
Maybe. Bring you an
apple. Would you like a cookie?
Everybody likes cookies, don't we?
Yes, obviously.
I mean,
it's not that much to ask if it's oatmeal raisin or chocolate chip. I mean, they look the same from a distance.
Quit your whining. I brought you cookies, and he's whining because they're oatmeal raisin. And
I wasn't whining.
Him.
I just wanted to tell him. I was like all excited. I thought they were chocolate chip oatmeal.
You also had Special K bars, which had chocolate on them, so you didn't need that much chocolate.
What Special K bars? I don't have any Special K bars.
Yeah, those are gone now. And I tucked them away in the freezer briefly for a day, so all my company didn't eat all that. I thought of you right away. You're welcome. And maybe this is why I couldn't sleep last night, because I ate garbage. And I had plenty of cookies this weekend. Mm-hmm. A study suggests adding these food items to your diet will help you get quality sleep.
Melatonins.
No, that's not food.
But a lot of people use
one or the other.
What if you put it in brownies?
Me.
You know what agitates you?
You.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. No, not pot brownies either. I mean, that might make you sleep well, but they're saying good old fruits and vegetables.
What?
Yep.
I got no time for that.
University of Chicago and Columbia University find that eating more fruits and vegetables as well as whole grains could help you get a better sleep.
This whole eating healthy thing, I mean, why does it have to fix, like, everything?
I know. That's what we're supposed to do, right?
You need to do the Mediterranean diet. Eat more fruits and vegetables. Don't eat the stuff that makes, you know, that you like, that's delicious.
Are you getting nagged by a nutritionist or something like
that? No, I just know a nutritionist that's always talking about the Mediterranean diet.
Well, it is. It's heart healthy, Jace. This study here is one of the first to show what you eat during the day could change your sleep that same night. Researchers estimate that eating the recommended 5 cups of fruits and veggies a day could improve your sleep by 16%.
How many times have any of us eaten some junky food and then not only had a bad night's sleep, but then you had some sort of weird dream or nightmare because of it, and you're just like, I'm never eating Taco Bell again.
Really? Food will do that?
Sometimes.
NyQuil would do that to me. It would knock me out cold for a couple of hours, and you end up with weird dreams, and you wake up all sweaty.
I don't know. Ever since the transplant, I swear, sometimes I just have whatever, a normal dream, and I wake up and I'm sweating, and I'm just like, well, this, I know I didn't have this before. So out of all the things you could potentially, you know, they say that you can get from your donor, I got night sweats. Or dream sweats or something. I wake up.
Maybe you got the heart of a menopausal woman, because it can be a male or female heart, right? That you got.
Yes, technically it can, but as what little information I have, I believe it's a younger man's heart. So I didn't get a menopausal heart. At least I don't think so.
Well, I'm sure you're going to mention that once you find out who your donor heart came from. I'm sure you'll be bringing that up to the family. Like, were they a heavy sweater?
Were they menopausal? According to my coworker. Yeah, I mean,
that is a weird symptom. That has nothing to do with a transplant. Did you ask about that?
Like, I guess I could have asked the doctor about that. I was more concerned about asking if I could have a drink more than once a year. But, you know, everybody's got their own priorities.
They gave you permission. Did you have one with your dad this weekend when they were in town?
No, dad's got some medicines that he's on because
so he's avoiding drinks.
I don't know if he's avoiding it. But I know that they said the week before they went camping with my sister and her family. And basically one of those nights, I mean, I think he had a beer. My brother-in-law had a beer. Mom had a Twisted Tea. And then that was about it. So, he's kind of, in a sense, he's kind of slowed down. I mean, he'll have a drink, maybe two on it, like if it's a weekend when him and mom are at home. But for the most part, I think he's kind of slowed down.
Well, a lot of those medications you have to watch. You know?
Well, and he's got some other medication he's taking now because they're trying to figure out some small issue he has. So, you know, we didn't have a drink. Granted, they had to go out, and I had to wait up for them to make sure they got home at the right time.
They kept you up all night. You were worrying about your folks making it back from Chicago concert.
I mean, who knows what they got? Could have, would have, should have got into while they were at the concert, you know, what kind of riffraff they run into at a Chicago concert.
They've been here enough where they know their way around the metro well, right?
Yeah, for the most part,
To get to your house to Shields Arena, yeah,
I think my mom probably gets more turned around because, like, when you go to our place, our road doesn't go, it starts, when you turn off at the stoplight, it starts going
west, and then it curves to go north-south. So then it messes you up, like, which direction's which. It took Dad a while to figure out which way north was. Mm-hmm. And when I finally told him, no, the soccer fields, those are north.
Well,
and then because the other road, it curves, you know, over by like the roundabout and stuff.
Even if you're not here very, even if you mm-hmm. live here and maybe you haven't gotten to one stretch of town in a year or two or whatever, you get over there and like, holy heck, where did all this stuff come from?
Oh, exactly. You never know. You're just like, what the heck?
And then coming from out of town, it's different. Yeah. And what did your folks say about the Chicago concert?
They thought it was really good. Yeah. I think the one thing that I can recall specifically them saying is they were waiting for one song. Is it like a song called like 26-4-2?
25-6-4?
I don't know. Whatever name. It was the one with a bunch of numbers in it.
I think it's 25 or 6-4, yeah.
25 or 6-4. Anyway, that was the one they were waiting to hear. And they finally played it on one of their encores.
It's one of their probably So
my mom was worried about getting her hair messed up with the wind and everything else before the concert. So she stayed inside while Dad worked on the fence. But I had the speaker out there and I turned on my Apple Music and had the Chicago playing for him. So
date night, I saw they had color coordinated outfits on too. They're so adorable. They really are.
Which one was that?
It was a Facebook post. Ron and I are friends.
Yeah, I know that, but
both had like a mint or turquoise. He had a kind of a checkered shirt, and she had a mint blouse on. The couples that dress alike. That's
adorable. At least they're not wearing matching tracksuits. That's all I can
say. Do they have matching tracksuits?
Thankfully, no. That whole era is kind of past. I would say that my grandparents might have had those, but not my mom and dad right now. So.
Oh, good point. I saw somebody posted on Facebook, too, about there was some flooding over by Concordia on A Street. Anytime we get heavy rain that comes down like that, any of the low-lying areas, some of the underpasses, you know, 25th Street underpass in Fargo, 20th, 21st over in Moorhead was always the one, too.
If the rain comes down heavy enough, and I'm positive this has nothing to do with me and my dad framing out the window downstairs, because the downstairs was put together. We had to finish the family room in the fourth bedroom. So we just had to like insulate and sheetrock and stuff. Our window that faces the backyard, if we get heavy rain,
does it leak?
It leaks.
Ah.
And I don't know where it's leaking from, because we've like literally put some sealant around the outside of the window. We put it around by like where the deck is. So I don't know if when I took off a piece of siding to attach the boards for the deck, if somehow there's some sort of leak in there somewhere. But if we get really, really heavy rain, then all of a sudden it's dripping on that window well.
Water seems to find a way. Yeah. All right, you got your timer ready over there?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Becky Hosselton of Fargo, you have 10 minutes, 10 seconds, or 9 minutes, 70 seconds to call us at 701-293-9000 to get yourself qualified for the great grocery giveaway. Someone's going to be winning a year's worth of groceries. That's $10,000 in groceries. Our sponsors are All Sauger Meats and Kingpins. Becky Hosselton of Fargo, call us now. You are on the clock.
701-293-9000.
It is 7:30. And that's the way to start our week out, right? Becky Hosselton of Fargo just called in. She got herself qualified for the great grocery giveaway. She might be winning $10,000 in groceries.
Maybe.
Maybe it'll be you, or you, or you, or you. You guys still have time to qualify.
How about me?
Not you.
Not you.
We can't qualify.
Probably be Becky.
We can't qualify?
Probably Becky, because she's qualified, but you're not qualified.
What if I register under Jim Shorts? No, you don't think that'll fly? I suppose you have to give proper ID, don't you?
Probably. Okay. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you're not getting past Mariana at the front desk.
There was a guy I went to school with. His first name was Jim, J-I-M. Last name Shorts.
Oh, that's funny.
I'd change my name.
Oh, that's wow. I knew somebody with the
radio,
worst
though,
name
right?
than that.
Well, for radio, that's perfect.
Our sports director, Jim Shorts. Yeah. Jim Shorts.
Oh, we've got some strong storms. We do have a severe thunderstorm warning for the next few minutes in Otter Tail and southern Becker counties. Let's see. We've got the strongest storms lining from DL through Perham, moving east-northeastward at about 35 miles an hour. So they're moving eastward pretty quickly. We still have some light leftover showers here in the FM area. We've picked up about 0.4 inch. I think we'll pick up about a half inch or so before all is said and done. These showers will continue non-severe in the valley here for the next hour or so. And then by around lunchtime, we'll see a cold front swing through, switching our winds to the west-northwest and drying us out. We'll have highs today in the upper 70s, and then tonight partly cloudy, mid-50s, a northwest wind 10 to 20. And Tuesday, a really nice day. We'll see a few clouds mixed with the sun, but light winds out of the northwest and highs close to 80. And then Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, all 3 days, we have a chance for storms at night. I think the daytime hours should be mostly dry. Again, we could have leftover showers or storms in the morning, kind of like what we did now. And then highs in the upper 70s to low 80s Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then summer heat returns for the weekend, looks mainly dry too, with highs in the upper 80s Saturday, mid 90s now it looks like on Sunday. Sunday is going to be a good pool day, good lake day, whatever. It's going to be a hot one.
Yeah, those with plans to head towards water will be loving you.
Yes, they will. I know Alex and Jay are... They're a little mad at me right now because they haven't been able to get in their pool yet. It's been too cool. So I told them next weekend, oh, we've heard that before. I'm like, listen, I promise you, you will have pool weather this weekend.
Oh, there you go. I like that. The guy who sticks behind it. Dean's Weather This Hour brought to you by
Jiffy Lube of Fargo. It's locally owned and operated with three convenient Fargo locations, and you never need an appointment. Jiffy Lube of Fargo, where you can do more in a jiffy. Time is now 7:35. We've got to check your national news. When we come back, at WDAY Radio Sports Update, and Dean will return with your 3-degree guarantee.
7:38, time now for a check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jay Stedman.
Minnesota Lynx, they returned to their winning ways this weekend as they got a big 101-78 victory over the LA Sparks this weekend at Target Center. They led by 32 at the half, and they were led by Nafisha Collier, who had 32 points as well. And Courtney Williams also chipped in 17. Minnesota has the best record in the WNBA at 10-1, and the Lynx host the Aces tomorrow night. And part of the reason why they have the best record in the WNBA now, Bonnie, is because your favorite team, the Indiana Fever and Caitlin Clark, returned to action. Mm-hmm. And they beat the New York Liberty and handed them their first loss. Mm. And Caitlin had like 32 points in that game as well. So she's back with her team. Mm-hmm. Fargo Moorhead Redhawks, they lost their series finale to Lake County 8-3 yesterday. Redhawks are off today, but will start a 3-game homestand against the Sioux City Explorers tomorrow night at 7:02 p.m. Minnesota Twins finished up a rough week. They lost to the Astros 2-1 in 10 innings. They dropped 5 out of their 6 this past week, and they are still in second place in the AL Central at 36-35. They will visit Cincinnati tomorrow, but they will be doing that without Royce Lewis because he has been put on the 10-day IR, and he has a strained hamstring. We'll see how long he's out for. Hopefully he's able to come back after those 10 days are up. He's only hitting .202 with 2 home runs and 9 RBIs in 30 games this season. Deshaun Kearsey Jr. was called up from the St. Paul Saints to replace him on the active roster. Tonight we get NBA Finals resuming in Oklahoma City tonight. Oklahoma City came back in the fourth quarter on Friday night and tied that series up at 2 games apiece with a 111-104 victory. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led the way with 35 points. I believe he set a record for most points in the last 3 or 5 minutes of a contest with 15. Both teams looking for that... I guess you'd say the elusive title for Indiana. They got 3 ABA titles to their name. They don't have an NBA title to their name. And Oklahoma City, they haven't won probably since the 1970s, I'm thinking it was, when they were still the Seattle Supersonics.
It's a long time.
It is. Speaking of the NBA, Kevin Durant has listed his top 3 teams he would like to be traded to. Miami Heat, San Antonio Spurs, or the Houston Rockets. Doesn't have a no-trade clause. He's going to be making $55 million next season. However, the Suns said it's going to make the best deal for the organization, even if it means trading the 36th, soon-to-be 37-year-old All-Star to a team outside of his preferred list. So I guess there's still a chance he comes to Minnesota, but I personally don't like the price tag to get him in a Timberwolves jersey. Florida Panthers and Edmonton Oilers, they're off again today. They will resume the Stanley Cup Finals on Tuesday, and the Florida Panthers have a chance to try and wrap things up on their home ice as they took Game 5 in Edmonton 5-2 on Saturday night. They're trying to notch back-to-back Stanley Cup victories at home. This coming Tuesday, it's a matchup in back-to-back years against Edmonton. So Edmonton's trying to reverse things and get this to a Game 7 back in Edmonton later in the week if they can get that win tomorrow night. So we'll see if that can happen. J.J. Spaun has got his first major championship after he won the U.S. Open.
He finished atop the leaderboard at 1 under par. He won the tournament by 2 strokes, rounding out the top finishers. Robert McIntyre was in second, Victor Hovland at third, and then we had a 3-way tie at fourth with Cameron Young, Tyrell Hatton, and Carlos Ortiz. Tom Hoagie, unfortunately, did not make the cut. And down in Omaha, our very own Big Game James has been down there enjoying the College World Series. Yesterday, the Arizona Wildcats were the first team eliminated. They lost 8-3 to Louisville. And then in the nightcap, in a winner's bracket game, Coastal Carolina beat Oregon State 6-2 to remain undefeated in the double elimination tournament. Action continues today with an elimination game between Arkansas and Murray State in the afternoon. And then tonight, the winner's bracket matchup between LSU and UCLA. Tonight at 6:30 to 8 p.m., we're going to have Track Talk with Jason Berg. We'll get you caught up with everything in the racing scene, while Big Game James and myself will be on our sister station, The Flag, for the Optimus All-Star Volleyball matchup tonight.
And congratulations, Becky Hosselton of Fargo, the latest person to get qualified for the Great Grocery Giveaway. We are giving away groceries for a year. That is $10,000 in groceries, brought to you by Allsager Meats and Kingpins 4 times a day. We announce your name, and if it's your name, we announce a name, and if it's your name, you have 9 minutes, 70 seconds to call. That's 10 minutes, 10 seconds.
But if we don't announce your name, don't call us.
7 o'clock hour, 10 o'clock hour, 1 o'clock hour, and 4 p.m. hour, because I got like 12 other things rattling
right on my brain.
In breaking news late last night, in case you have not heard, the suspect wanted in connection with the deadly shootings down in the Twin Cities was captured. 57-year-old Vance Bolter arrested near a field near his home, Green Isle, which is about 55 miles southwest of the Twin Cities. Governor Walz, by the way, has ordered flags flown at half staff after Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were shot and killed, and Senator John Hoffman and his wife were shot and injured. The largest manhunt in Minnesota history. SWAT teams from 20 different departments were brought in on that search. Hundreds of law enforcement officers involved as well. And the suspect, Vance Bolter, due in court today. The Justice Department is looking into possible federal charges after investigators say they found a hit list with the name of some federal lawmakers. You know darn well they're going to go with whatever the biggest charges they can go after him with. They are going to do that. And obviously, you get somebody charged and convicted federally, they're going to get more prison time. I do see, too, that came out of the news conference last night, Bolter in his house, officers located at least 3 AK-47 assault rifles and a 9mm handgun, as well as a list of names and addresses of other public officials. That coming out of the news conference last night. 7:45, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki with your 3-degree guarantee coming up next. 7:46, Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki has arrived with your 3-degree guarantee, brought to you by the Window and Door Store.
All right, so we're going to go a little different than we did for the Tailgaters Tuesday.
Because, wait a minute.
On second thought.
How did you do on Friday?
Oh, we got to go back to that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We forecasted 63.
Yeah.
We hit 64.
All right.
Now, I was going...
Streak is at 1.
Woo! I was going 78, but we're going to knock that down now to 74. I think the clouds and scattered showers are going to hang on a little. I think we're going to get a little bit of redevelopment around, like, the light stuff now, at least in the valley. The stronger storms have now pressed into Lakes Country. Areas around Ottertail, Southern Becker, still seeing some strong storms. But for us, we'll see more... possible storms develop later or early this afternoon. I think that's going to keep temps down. Nothing severe expected this afternoon, but winds will shift to the west-northwest on a cold front, and then we'll dry things out tomorrow high around 80. So again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 74. A little cool for this time of the year, but not bad. We're just not going to see a whole lot of sunshine today until probably late in the day, like right around supper time.
Interesting how in 40 minutes... his predicted high went from 78 to 74.
It might go down to 71 if you keep it up.
That won't bother me at all. I'm just saying. I'm losing faith in your accuracy.
Well,
the reason
behind the tail. We want, you know, we want the better drink special.
Effort for that tie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we're 78. All of a sudden at the end of the show, he's like, high today, 71. Oh, it looks like you tried real hard on the 2-degree.
Yeah.
We'll see how he does.
Hey, when friends tell you, can you, you know, you've been right too many times. We'd like some Long Islands or, yeah. Yeah. Is it Long Islands or what?
Yeah, Long Island cheese.
We'd like a little Long Island activity over here on Tuesdays. Yeah. So I try to make everybody happy, but I can't make everybody happy.
Yeah. Well, make one person happy, would you?
That's even tough sometimes. I know.
3-degree guarantee has been brought to you by the Window and Door Store. Might encounter some street flooding from that heavy rain that moved through, especially in the low-lying areas, or maybe there's some construction going on in spots. So just a heads up as you're traveling here this morning. And we did see some, anywhere from pea-size hail up to even quarter-size hail across the metro in parts of our region here as that thunderstorm rumbled through. What do you always say? Watch your mouth. Is that something you, is that what you say? Yeah, you do. I've heard you say it before.
I've usually told you to watch your mouth when you're talking to me. Actually, I said shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
I know you've heard said that too.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are using more profanity online than any other country. Would you have guessed that? I thought maybe somewhere over in the UK or something.
No, they're very prim and proper, and they don't
Not
curse.
All of them. According to a recent study published in the journal Lingua, the U.S. leads in profanity usage.
Yes!
Followed, there's nothing to be proud
what?
About.
What? Are you sure?
Yeah, followed by Great Britain and Australia. I figured the Aussies would be up there somewhere. Research analyzed 1.7 billion words from 20 English-speaking nations, and they used computer programs to identify variations of vulgar language across websites and blog posts. And there you go, Americans, something to be proud about. I saw my niece.
We're number one!
My niece, who's in her mid-30s, her and her family are... Well, they now are in Alaska, but they drove a motorhome and they went up through Canada to get there. And they had a couple of issues with the motorhome. So she did a post. She used the F word, but she didn't write the whole word. She put like a little asterisk.
Yeah.
But it's that would still count in this profanity
I would think so.
Use. But yeah, there's a lot of people. You're we just talking to them. And they
we use profanity to emphasize the wording in the sentence to show you how upsetting it was. Plus, they say it's a high sign of higher intelligence.
I swear. I guess I've heard that before. I don't get
well, it. Well, I think that people should know how much you swear around here when you're not on the air.
I don't. It's just become so...
Lies!
It's just become so common.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's part of any number of the shows, you know, you watch on streaming services, you know, they drop F-bombs here and there, and you're kind of used to it in a sense. I mean, it doesn't particularly offend me, I guess. It probably offends my wife more than it does me.
Use
like,
it properly.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why it's always funny when you have a like a toddler or something like that, and they not only drop an F-bomb, but they use it in the proper context of a sentence. You're like, well, at least they used it correctly.
My Bailey did that when she was two, and I know exactly where she got it from.
Bonnie.
No, that would have been her dad. 7:54 Monday morning. Welcome into Bonnie and Friends, WDAY Radio. Becky Hosselton of Fargo got qualified for the Great Grocery Giveaway. You can go to WDAYRadioNow.com to register. Click on the Great Grocery Giveaway page. Or tomorrow, you can go over to Grease Monkey on 52nd Avenue South and meet our own Grease Monkey, Big Game James McCarty. He's going to be there from 2 to 5 getting you registered, and we'll draw two qualifiers tomorrow.
No word yet if he will be performing those oil changes for those that show up. You could probably ask.
He would.
He probably, you know, you get, if you guy. Tip him well enough, I bet you'll change your oil for you. If,
ask him to dance for you. He does that too.
James is going to show up.
No shame.
James is going to show up at the event tomorrow. He's like, Bonnie said you'd dance for me if I tipped you.
And then he'd just have a big smile with those dimples of him, and he'd give you a little. He would. That's our little Jimmy.
I'm getting paid for this? All right. What kind of dance do you want? You want something seductive?
He'll do it for you. 2 to 5 over at Grease Monkey tomorrow, 52nd Avenue South. I guess they also have, you can register for a free oil change too.
Yep.
And win a couple pairs of UND hockey tickets. So get yourself qualified that way too if you want. Consumer sentiment, how did we do in June? We will tell you coming up next in your money and markets. 7:58, checking out your money and markets. Opening bell rings this morning to kick off what will be a holiday-shortened trading week. Stocks closed sharply lower Friday, extending losses after Iran launched missiles into Israel in retaliation for a series of Israeli airstrikes against Tehran. Oil and defense stocks rose while tech shares and travel stocks took a hit as global markets reached to the conflict or reacted to the conflict. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped 769 points. Ouch. S&P 500 was down 68, and the NASDAQ fell 255 points.
That's a bit of a drop there.
Yep, yep.
Let's see. Coming up in the business week ahead, Tuesday brings release of the retail sales data along with the Home Builder Confidence Index. The ball continues to roll on Wednesday with housing starts and building permits. Also, because this is a Juneteenth holiday shortened week, the initial jobless claims will be out a day earlier than usual, with just a slight uptick in first-time requests for unemployment benefits expected. Most of the focus on Wednesday, however, will go to the Federal Reserve's interest rate decision, with the central bank seen keeping its benchmark rate unchanged for now.
Consumer sentiment is on the rise for the first time in 6 months. The University of Michigan's early reading for June climbed 16% from last month. Survey showed across-the-board rebounds as consumers grew more optimistic about the economy. Year-ahead inflation expectations plunged 1.5%. 1.5% from last month to their lowest level in 3 months. The survey's chief economist said despite the notable improvement, consumers remain guarded and concerned about the outlook for the economy.
Mitsubishi Motors North America is recalling nearly 200,000 Outlander and Outlander plug-in hybrid electric SUVs. The recall is due to faulty software that could cause rear view cameras to malfunction. If only there were some mirrors so you could see backwards, Bonnie. Hmm. The automaker said that a National Highway Traffic Safety Administration recall report that the infotainment system in over 198,000 Outlanders from model years 2022 to 2025 could freeze or display a black screen. The NHTSA recall report said it could cause a rearview camera image to be lost while backing up, which could increase crash risk.
Oh. Mine doesn't work, but that's because I shut the garage door too fast and it kind of hit the back, so it kind of knocked it back. But I don't care enough. It's still.
I don't even care.
I don't. It still beeps if I need it to beep. You just can't see a picture. I'm like.
You just look at the rearview mirrors that you have.
Yeah.
We've got mirrors? What?
I use my mirrors.
You get kind of used to using the backup camera. At the same time, it's just like, well, just look in the mirror.
I never 100% trusted it anyway. I always kind of trust my eyes too. But
it's still kind of it's a tool, but it's still kind of weird to get used to it.
Mm, yeah. Well, I don't have one. I haven't had one probably for 2 years now.
Oh wow.
I could fix it, but
it's like a struggle for
cost
you.
Me. No, it's not. We are WDAY Fargo. It is 8:01. Good morning. 8:03, time for a check on our forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Well, we've seen a line of showers and storms. Some of those were on the strong side. Numerous reports of about nickel-sized hail, pea-sized hail. That has moved east of, east of the Perham area. So that continues to press east out of the area. Now, we still have some light showers throughout the FM area. But if you look west, you'll see skies brightening up a little bit. So we'll see the rain come to an end here within the next hour. And then we'll see a break in the activity. And then as we head towards lunchtime, we'll kind of get on the backside of this area of low pressure. That could trigger off a few more storms. Not expected to be severe this afternoon. But around between lunchtime and about 2 p.m., we could see redevelopment of a few showers and storms. We'll have highs today in the low to mid 70s with a wind turning from the southeast to the west northwest this afternoon, about 10 to 20, and a little bit gusty. Then tonight, quiet night, partly cloudy, mid 50s, and tomorrow, light northwest winds, partly cloudy, highs around 80. Good golf weather tomorrow. Man, book the tee time tomorrow. And then Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, all three nights, we stand a chance for storms. Daytime highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. And again, some of those storms will linger kind of like today. It'll linger into the early morning hours before clearing out. The weekend right now, from this standpoint, looks hot. Upper 80s on Saturday, and looks like low to mid 90s on Sunday. So this weekend looks like good lakes weather, good pool weather. For Bonnie, it looks like good stay inside the house air conditioning weather.
Yep, exactly. You know how I roll.
You got it.
All right, something for everybody. 8:04, Dr. Z from the clinic is going to be joining us, the Clinic Family Sports and Chiropractic. We'll talk about various injuries and pain and should you get in sooner rather than later. Does that help at all? We'll find out from the good doc coming up in a couple of minutes. Right now, we are going to go to ABC News for your national news, and then Jace checks out your WDAY Radio Sports. Dr. Z from the clinic is going to be joining us shortly. First of all, a quick check on your WDAY Radio Sports with Jace Denman.
First things first, your Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks lost their series finale to the Lake County Dockhounds 8-3 yesterday. Redhawks are off today, but kick off a three-game homestand against the Sioux City Explorers beginning tomorrow night at 7:02 p.m. Minnesota Twins, they got swept by the Houston Astros following a 2-1 loss in 10 innings yesterday. And the Twins remain in second place in the AL Central at 36-35. They're going to visit Cincinnati tomorrow, but they're going to be doing that without Royce Lewis. He's on the shelf once again. He's on the 10-day DL. He strained a hamstring running the bases on Friday. Deshaun Kearsey Jr. was called up from the St. Paul Saints to replace Williams on the active roster. Finally, a Minnesota win. The Minnesota Lynx got off to a fast start, got up by as many as 32 at the half. They go on to rout the Los Angeles Sparks 101-78, led by Nafisia Collar's 32 points. They are now at WNBA best 10-1, and they host the Las Vegas Aces tomorrow night. Tonight, the NBA Finals resume in Oklahoma City as the Oklahoma City Thunder tied up the series at 2 games apiece on Friday with a 111-104 victory led by Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's 35 points. Tied at 2 apiece now, game 5 tonight at Oklahoma City. I believe game 6 is not till later in the week, Friday, I believe. And we'll see if Oklahoma City can take advantage of home court tonight to take a 3-2 series lead, or if Indiana can continue to do what seems to be the impossible and keep winning big-time games and big-time series. An NBA star that is wants to get out of Phoenix, he has made it known that his top preferred spots are Miami, San Antonio, or Houston. And that, of course, is Kevin Durant, who's due almost $55 million next season. We'll see if the Timberwolves still try and stay involved in potential Kevin Durant talks, because the Phoenix Suns said they'll do what's best for the organization as opposed to what Kevin wants. On the ice, Saturday night, Florida Panthers got a big road win, 5-2 over the Edmonton Oilers. They take a commanding 3-2 series lead. Game 6 could be the clincher in Florida tomorrow night. That'll be covered on TNT. So obviously stay tuned for that one, because that should be a really good game. Two very evenly matched teams there in the Stanley Cup Finals. J.J. Spahn celebrating his first major championship. He won the U.S. Open at 1-under par. He won that tournament by 2 strokes, rounding out the top finishers. Robert McIntyre finished at 2nd at 1 over. Victor Hovland 3rd at 2 over. While Cameron Young, Tyrell Hatton, and Carlos Ortiz finished in a 3-way tie for 4th at 3 over. Tom Hoagie, unfortunately, did not make the cut. And our all very own Big Game James enjoying the College World Series. Yesterday, I believe he saw that the Arizona Wildcats were eliminated by Louisville 8-3. In the nightcap, Coastal Carolina beat Oregon State 6-2 in a winner's bracket game. Action continues today with the other side of the bracket. Elimination game between Arkansas and Murray State, followed by a winner's bracket matchup between LSU and UCLA. And tonight, right here on WDAY Radio at 6:30, Track Talk with Jason Berg will get you caught up with everything in the local racing scene from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Then on our sister station, The Flag, at 7 p.m., we're going to have high school all-star volleyball action with Big Game James McCarty and myself.
812, Dr. Z from the Clinic Family Sports Chiropractic, joining us here in studio on Bonnie and Friends. Good morning to you, Dr. Z.
Hey, good morning.
Say we tweak something, we're picking up something, turn wrong, and then whether we hear a pop or not, but things are hurting. Maybe we're playing with the kids or grandkids, and all of a sudden something feels off.
Or maybe we're just old.
Or maybe we're just old just and saying. Things happen. What should we start with how we react to the pain that we're feeling, I guess? What's the first step?
Well, the first thing you want to do is address the inflammatory component without shutting off the inflammation. Okay. There was a British study a few years ago that showed if you take nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs to aid in the inflammation with an acute low back injury, that actually is the number one reason why things won't get better and can turn chronic. So you want to avoid those. You want to put ice on it, rest it, give it that 2 or 3 days. Inflammation is going to last up to 72 hours. Usually after that, it's going to start calming down. If it doesn't calm down, that's when there's something else going on, and it might help to take a look at that.
And those NSAIDs, is that how you say it? NSAIDs? Mm-hmm. So like ibuprofen,
aspirin, ibuprofen, and Aleve are the 3 over-the-counter anti-inflammatory drugs.
So don't take those right away.
I would.
Or should you never take
it? I would discourage that. I mean, the research is pretty clear. If you want to develop a bad back, take those.
Oh,
that's the number one reason why that happens.
Wow. Yeah. And then when it comes to, because I get confused here with do you ice right away? And when do you use heat? Because isn't heat a thing too?
Well, think of inflammation is a chemical reaction. So think of, you know, think of boiling water on a stove or something like this, right? If you turn the heat up on it, it's going to boil faster, right? Mm-hmm. If you turn the heat down, it's going to settle down and calm down. And that's the same thing with temperature when it comes to inflammation. You want to put cold on it to calm it down, but it doesn't shut it off. It allows your body to recruit the things it needs to the area in order to heal. If you put heat on it, you'll have the opposite effect. And a lot of times pain that'll start dissipating after 2 or 3 days will still be there in 7 to 10 days.
What if it's a sharp stabbing pain?
Sharp stabbing pain is something that you want to pay attention to, okay? It's oftentimes not a muscle strain. It involves white fiber, which can involve things like tendons or ligaments. But in the lower back, if you're in a bent position, the structure that's really under the most strain that's also made out of white fiber are those discs. And so a sharp stabby pain in the lower back can be a sign of a disc tearing.
Mm. Can that maybe go away?
Some of them can heal. It kind of depends on the direction and the orientation of where the tear is, which, let's face it, without an MRI, you're never going to know that anyway. Mm-hmm. but it only really takes one tear in those discs in order to disrupt the disc so that it begins this process of deteriorating.
I know my dad's 96, but he sometimes walks crooked. He does now, but even in his younger years, sometimes he walks crooked. And I see other people with maybe back or other injuries that kind of walk crooked. What does that mean?
So if you actually see this in people without pain too, but if you tweak your lower back and then you look at yourself in the mirror and you're crooked, like your belly button isn't center anymore, that's called antalgia, and that's a subconscious automatic thing that the body does to try to shift your body weight away from the pain. Okay. And so it involves muscles in your back tightening up in one direction to kind of move things out of the way. And it's also a fairly cardinal sign of there being a disc problem in there.
And that, once you get to that phase, is that the longer it goes on, I would imagine the harder it is to fix that, or you're not even able to fix that?
Well, I mean, that's kind of true of most things, right? If you've got back pain that it's been a week, now it's 2 weeks, now it's 3 weeks, now it's 4 weeks. I mean, the longer you're trying to deal with it, which, let's face it, really isn't dealing with it, it's putting up with it, right? The hope is it's going to get better on its own. But if you're 2, 3, 4 weeks into something, it's not really improving, then the longer you adapt to that pain, the more long-term changes you create in your body in terms of how your muscles move, and it results in these compensational movements. And so the longer you have those, the more likely the brain's to get wired so that you stay with these compensated movement patterns, which tend to lead to problems down the road. This is one of the reasons why football players or athletes that suffer an injury, right, and they go through a bunch of rehabilitation and things, but oftentimes I always think about, like, Terrell Davis back in the 90s, where he had knee problems, and so he was out for a while with a knee issue. And then when he came back, he started having foot and ankle and hip and back and all these other kinds of things going on, which is a sign that he adapted in that time frame where he's, you know, in a cast or in a brace or all these kinds of things. His body had learned how to try to move differently under those circumstances. Now it doesn't move right. So now when he goes out and performs, he's more susceptible to injury. And the same kind of things that happens to us too.
Well, yeah, I mean that exact same thing happened to me. I had I have an ankle that I can roll pretty easily, you know, if I'm trying to play basketball or something, and I rolled my ankle and I was having knee problems. And so I went to my doctor and I said, "Well, I've got a knee issue." And he looks at my ankle and goes, "Well, looks like you sprained this recently." And I'm like, "Well, it always looks like that cuz I've sprained it so many times." He's like, "Well, if you don't take care of that's the reason why you're having this knee issue, because it just throws everything else out of whack." And so, I mean, it seems as though that a lot of times is a cause for a lot of other issues when you have one thing, if it's a back or even an ankle or a foot. I mean, that can just kind of work its way up the whole tree of a person, right?
Yeah, that story you just told, I had about 8, 9 years ago, I had this girl, she was 11 or 12 years old, and she would walk down the hallways and she would sprain her ankle like 3 times a day. And this has been going on for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have these small little stainless steel instruments, these little tools, and you can go in there. What happens is if you have an area, you keep re-spraining, it keeps re-tearing, it keeps re-healing, and it scars up over mm-hmm. time. That scar tissue, when scar tissue is laid down, it's laid down very randomly, and then it takes several months or even a year or more for that fiber to kind of weave into the tissue and strengthen up. But if you just keep re-tearing it, then that doesn't really happen,
right.
And you kind of end up with this adhesive mess of scar tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, we started using those tools just to break down that scar tissue, and it was probably 2-3 weeks, something like that, and all of a sudden the ankle sprain stopped mm-hmm. just by restoring the normal functional integrity to that tissue. So yeah, we talk about backs a lot, but you know, if you have a part that hurts, chances are we have a thing that can help it. So
well, that's what one of my friends, she was a sports trainer, and that's what she had told me when I severely sprained my ankle, and I wouldn't have thought to go to a chiropractor mm-hmm. if it wasn't for her telling me that. And
well, people think chiropractic, they think popping, snapping, mm-hmm. adjusting kind of stuff all the time, but yeah. You know, that's a part of what we do, but it's not everything. I mean, I spend probably half my day doing tissue work with people, whether it's a shoulder problem or a knee problem or a hip, you know, the pain on the outside of the hip that you get at night and now you can't sleep because you're tossing and turning, you know, that's a soft tissue problem usually. You just get in there and work on the tissue and soften that stuff back up, and then the pains go away. So
you have a rehab professional in the office?
We do. So we hired a gentleman by the name of Cody Weatherman. He's got a background in personal training first, and then as he progressed with that, he started getting into like neurodegenerative rehabilitation and different things like that. So he's extremely well versed in rehab principles and the types of things that go wrong in terms of, you know, with runners and hip instability or things like that. And so it's one thing to, you know, undo some of the damage by doing tissue work or adjusting or decompression or things like that. It's a whole nother thing to look at those compensation patterns people have developed and undo those and get things moving the way they're supposed to again, so that you can take those good changes that you made, cement them in place to give a person the best chance of things not coming back.
So after usually the first step is dealing with you or one of the other chiropractors, and then Cody comes into play.
It depends. It depends what's going on. If somebody's chronic conditions, you pretty much know that there's adaptation and compensation going on. And so a lot of times I try to get him involved right away mm-hmm. with it so that you can minimize the number of encounters that you have in order to get somebody well. So there's no point in waiting in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what's a 10-minute challenge?
10-minute. Well, you know, when you've been doing this stuff for as long as I have, 25 years I've been doing this, I've been a back pain client myself since I was 16 years old. So it's kind of the condition I know the most about. And once you're in practice long enough, you can tell, you can usually sit down with somebody and within 5 or 10 minutes, ask them the right questions and determine whether or not that's somebody that can be helped. Okay. I just had somebody in my office last week, and this is kind of where that thought came from, is he's been dealing with back pain for about 3 years. Okay. He really can't do much of anything anymore. And so he's kind of on the sidelines of life watching everybody else do things. And we sat down, we talked. It took about 2 minutes to understand his problem and to let him know that, yeah, absolutely, we can help that.
Mm.
Okay. And a lot of people think because they've had something for so long or they've been to a bunch of different places mm-hmm. that they can't be helped. It's just old age. They just have to live with things. And that's not true at all. If you can walk 50 feet and you don't have to stop because of back pain, you don't have severe pain shooting down your leg that never changes, you have a 96% chance that we can help you. And we can figure that out in 10 minutes or less usually.
Mm. So most people that can walk, what would you say, 50?
If you can walk more than 50 feet. You don't have to stop
yeah.
because your back hurts, and you don't have severe pain shooting down your leg, chances are you can be helped.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. You heard it here. Dr. Yeah. Chad Zimmerman, the Clinic Family and Sports Chiropractic. How do our listeners get a hold of you?
Easiest ways is through the website. Go to theclinicnow.com, or if you'd like to give us a call, 701-492-0696.
Very good. Thanks, Doc.
You bet. I hope you have a great week.
Oh, you too. Yeah. Dr. Chad Zimmerman with the Clinic Family and Sports Chiropractic joining us here on Bonnie and Friends. It is 8:23. Flatland Music Flashback, we bring that to you each and every morning right around 6:56, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Tomorrow, we will be showcasing Carole King, Jefferson Airplane, Jimmy Buffett, and Bruce Springsteen. Springsteen played his longest show back in 2012 when he performed in Madrid, Spain. More details on that and all these other artists and more coming up. Flatland Music Flashback right around 6:56 tomorrow morning. Again, brought to you by Flatland Guitar in Fargo, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. It is 8:24. We're going to be heading to the American Ag Network shortly. Our very own macho man, Ronnie Lee, has joined us in studio.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
How'd the weekend go?
Not too bad. You know, we did some summery type things. You know, we grilled cheeseburgers. Oh, we ate watermelon.
You'll be eating more of that this weekend.
Played card games. Nice. You know.
Family time, huh? Did you have company or?
Yeah.
Nice.
Had a friend of mine over. We, you know, Phase 10 isn't my best game. They love it.
I like that game.
I'm trying hard to understand it. You know,
it's a cheap card game, which is nice. Is. My son and I will play fairly often. I like
Yahtzee. I'm a big fan of.
Haven't played Yahtzee in years, but I do like it.
Played four rounds. Couldn't get a Yahtzee, but you know,
do you have
that didn't
game
stop
nights
me
in your house?
No. I mean, I think that's the problem. I'm a little bit different person. My family is more into that. I am not. I'm trying to be, but
you'd rather watch something sports on TV.
Well, there's that. Yep. And then I get the very isolated, hate filled stream. You know, because why don't you come and play with us? Why do you always have to watch some kind of sporting event on TV? Well, I like that. That's my thing.
Yeah. Exactly. I totally get that.
I also made a suggestion. You know what? Well, why don't we start playing games I want to play, like Trivial Pursuit?
That's fun.
And they're like,
You know. Really?
So, well, I mean, we'll see. Maybe they'll compromise with me.
See, I grew up playing cards and board games and everything, so I love it. That's what we do when I go to my mom and dad's. We play cards all weekend.
Some of my relatives did. You know, I grew up in a very small town. I think there was probably 100 or less residents, and that was the big section of the paper every week, because Ernest and Olivia went to so-and-so's house to play Pinochle this weekend.
Vesta Harms had recipients of guests this weekend, including Gerald and Regine Harms, Ron and Janet Denman, and their three kids.
Exactly.
And I'm just like,
that's the fun thing about small-town newspapers, Those that are still around, they're kind of dwindling in numbers.
The funniest part was our Clark County Courier there. It was mainly Clark News, which was, you know, the main seat of the county. And then on the back page, one page was Willow Lake News, and that's where those little tidbits got mailed in from Grandma to say that she had company this weekend and let everybody know.
Jason Denman took first place in the 50-yard dash.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, for sports stuff, that was in the Watertown paper.
Oh, Watertown paper. Okay.
All right. It's all the sports write-ups about the high school games.
The Watertown Arrows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to hang out with Ronnie today on the Coffee Club.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate that.
No problem.
No, I imagine we'll be discussing a couple of big things in the news. Yeah. I did hear, I believe the story's on our website, the person wanted in
arrested.
Minnesota manhunt was arrested apparently last night, right?
Yep.
Okay.
About 9:30, I started to see news trickling out of the city. So, yeah.
So, yeah, just a horrifying and terrible story.
Indeed.
So there's a couple of other things we'll talk about. The question of the day, facts, TV, or movies may have gotten wrong. Talk a little bit about weather. Are you a taco or burrito person and what that says about you? Also, we have Did You Knows, This and That. And our special guest is Pat for the small business today and a brand new Italian restaurant going up called the Zitti's in the West Fargo. Yeah, so all that and more to come.
All right, stay tuned for the Coffee Club. Jace, get out of here.
You betcha.
It's me and Ronnie time. I'm done with you for today.
Whatever.
He'll be back tomorrow. So will Big Game James McCarty and be listening to them on the flag tonight. Little volleyball action over there. Have yourselves a great day. It is 8:31.